KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Thousands of my listeners have already secured their network data. Join them at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. What we've been watching for the past few weeks is the obvious mental breakdown of one of the most famous people on earth, Kanye West, who now wishes to be known as Ye. What we've been watching here is obviously a manic episode from a person who has been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I've been saying this since the very beginning. Several things can be true at once. One, Ye West, Kanye West, he is a Jew hater. Pretty obviously, there is no way to avoid that conclusion. The stuff that he's been ranting and raving over the past several weeks demonstrates that he doesn't just hate specific Jews, he hates the Jews. The Jews are the problem, according to Kanye West. He's been spewing Der Sturmer Nazi-esque anti-Semitism for weeks, and last night on Alex Jones' show, he made that perfectly clear. So, that is true. It is also true that Kanye West is a person with bipolar disorder, and this is a person in the middle of a manic episode because there is no other way to explain his behavior. It's not performance art. It's not some sort of rational argument on behalf of hatred of Jews. He leaves that to Nick Fuentes. And the fact is that Ye West is in the middle of a mental breakdown, and we are watching it on the world's most public stage. It is the most famous person to have a mental breakdown probably since Howard Hughes publicly. And that says something about how our media cover mental breakdowns. It says something about how American society treats madness. We seem to treat really outlying insanity as a form of rationality. And meanwhile, we treat kind of borderline normal behavior as mentally ill. So we tend to overdiagnose, for example, depression, anxiety, ADHD, right? Things that are sort of on the borderline of normalcy. We tend to overprescribe for those things. Those things exist. Some people need prescription medication for that, but we tend to overprescribe that. And we wildly underserve people who have serious mental disorders, ranging from bipolar disorder to schizophrenia. And we treat that as though it is normal behavior. And finally, while being mad, while being disturbed, does not relieve you of responsibility for your Jew hatred, it does suggest that we ought to take the pronouncements of Ye West with a certain lack of seriousness, because this is a person in the middle of an episode. You know, there's no other way to play it. And honestly, I can despise what he is saying, because what he is saying is evil. And I can also recognize that this is a person who needs treatment, not a camera. This person needs treatment, not a set of lights in his face. And there are a lot of people out there who are making a lot of money off of Ye by putting him in front of a camera. There are a lot of people who are cynically utilizing this person's mental breakdown in order to facilitate their own career. And here I'm thinking specifically of Nick Fuentes and Milo Yiannopoulos. There are a bunch of people around Ye who could be attempting to get him the treatment he obviously needs. And I'm not here to pathologize people's insane thoughts or evil thoughts. Again, he's sitting across from Nick Fuentes, who routinely engages in evil thoughts. Okay, but Nick Fuentes is not an insane person. Nick Fuentes is not having a mental breakdown. He just thinks evil things. Ye West, after his display over the past week particularly, whatever you thought of him before, whether you thought that he was just an erratic personality who had decided to spew anti-Semitism, or whether you thought that he was perfectly rational, it is obvious over the course of the past several weeks that this is not the case and has not been the case for a while. Ranging from his tweet storm in which he talked about Chris Paul stooping his wife to his defense of Balenciaga to the actual appearance on Alex Jones. So we'll start this in order. The only reason I'm playing these clips is because it's important for people to recognize, because I'm seeing a lot of people who are denying what we are seeing from Ye here is actual mental illness. It is mental illness. Hey, this is disturbed behavior. Any doctor will tell you that this is disturbed behavior. First of all, I know psychologists who have spoken with Ye. He is obviously disturbed. But you don't have to be a doctor to know this. This is a disturbed human being. And you can see it last night. When you are on a set with Nick Fuentes and Alex Jones, and those are the two rational guys in the room trying to pull you back from the brink, looking embarrassed by you standing for Hitler, at that point you have to start wondering, is there a problem? I mean, your first indicator that there's a problem is when you stride into Alex Jones's studio. First of all, that in and of itself, not great. You stride into Alex Jones's studio wearing what appears to be an oversized baggy jacket and a full face covering black mask. When I say a mask, I don't mean like just face. It covers his entire head. It looks like he's about to go rob a bank, except you can't even see his eyes. Yeah, he was. I mean, he's literally there with what looks like a black sock over his head. Apparently, it's a Balenciaga sock over his head, as we'll discuss in a moment. He actually defended Balenciaga yesterday. So for all those people on the right who are saying, well, you know, he's a good Christian. He's just defending our honor. First of all, if this is your Christian lineup, right, if this is the best Western Christendom has to offer, is Ye last night, Alex Jones, and Nick Fuentes, Western Christendom is in serious, serious trouble. But this guy yesterday was defending the company that put out pedophilic ads. So there are a lot of problems. So he walks in. He is sitting on the far left-hand side of the screen, and he is wearing a very oversized baggy jacket, and he is wearing a full-on black sock over his head. You cannot see his eyes. You cannot see his face. You cannot see anything about him except what looks like an eraser head. And then you've got Alex Jones in the middle, and then you have Nick Fuentes on the end wearing some sort of blue hoodie, sweatshirt. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Okay, so here is here's Alex Jones with Ye West yesterday.
Well, that's right. You're not Hitler. You're not a Nazi. You don't deserve to be called that and demonized.
Well, I see good things about Hitler also. I love everyone, and Jewish people are not going to tell me, you can love, you know, us, and you can love what we're doing to you with the contracts, and you can love what we're, you know, what we're pushing with the pornography. But this guy that invented highways, invented the very microphone that I use as a musician, you can't say out loud that this person ever did anything good, and I'm done with that. I'm done with the classifications. Every human being has something of value that they brought to the table, especially Hitler.
Especially Hitler. Okay, now, coming out of a person who was not wearing a face-covering mask and who was not about to launch, sitting next to a copy of the Holy Bible, by the way, he's speaking just as Jesus would here. Yeah, he was. Coming from a just normal anti-Semite, and there are some other people on the screen you could choose from, you would say that this is just pure rote anti-Semitism. But as I say, I don't think this is just pure rote, disgusting, craven anti-Semitism. It is. But I don't think that's the limit of it. As you can see, Alex Jones gets more and more uncomfortable here. And there is a certain perverse hilarity to the fact that Alex Jones is moderate on the panel. And Alex Jones is suddenly Larry King here. But here's Alex Jones, again, trying to walk Ye West back from the Hitler support, the open Hitler support, and Ye just jumping into both feet.
I like Hitler.
I don't like Hitler. And I know you're trying to be shocking with that.
I'm not trying to be shocking. I like Hitler. I do not. The Holocaust is not what happened. Let's look at the facts of that. And Hitler has a lot of redeeming qualities.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Except that he's mad. Except there's a person in the middle of a mental break. And I say that, again, advisedly, because I'm not here to pathologize people's evil. In fact, I prefer for people to take responsibility for their evil. This person is in the middle of a mental breakdown. And it's not just from that clip or from his garb. It is from this clip, I mean, where he actively starts. He took out the prime minister of Israel is a person named Benjamin Netanyahu. Okay, Bibi Netanyahu, as he's called, his yay brought to the studio a small Met and a bottle of Yoo-hoo. And I'm not kidding you, like the chocolate milk, Yoo-hoo. And he started trotting them around the table while doing the supposed voice of Benjamin Netanyahu, who he accused of attempting to kill him. This is mad behavior. This is mentally disturbed behavior. This is not something, if you saw a person on the street doing this, you would understand. This is a mentally disturbed person. If you saw this in the halls of a mental hospital, you would understand. This is a mentally disturbed person. You put him on TV, and suddenly we're supposed to treat it like celebrity behavior. We're supposed to treat every behavior by a celebrity as celebrity behavior, up until the point when they actually do something terrible to themselves. I mean, honestly, that's my great fear here for Ye West, is that if he is in the middle of a manic episode, the depression on the other side of the mania very often is coincident with the level of the mania. So if the mania is really high, the depression is really low. So, I mean, I would not be surprised, God forbid, something should happen, that Ye should do something to himself, given his behavior. I mean, again, my grandfather was schizophrenic. I know what serious mental illness looks like. This is serious mental illness, and we are watching it. And people are treating it for a variety of reasons as though it is not mentally ill behavior. You have some people on the left treating it as though it's not mentally ill behavior so that they can link Ye West's despicable views on Jews with Donald Trump, and then Donald Trump by proxy to the entire Republican Party. You have some people in the media who are treating it not that way because they wish to make money off the ratings. I feel bad even talking about this a little bit at this point, given the fact that this is a disturbed individual. But again, I keep saying he's a disturbed individual because I want people to understand, number one, that the words he is saying make no sense. And that's not an insult. They don't make any sense. They are nonsensical. And I also would love for people to understand, who are defending Ye West, that when you defend a person who's in the middle of a mental episode, you are not doing them any good. You are not adding value to the world. You're doing something quite cruel. And here's Ye West going mad on air. I mean, there's no other way to put this.
The ADL had a meeting 2 weeks ago and said, Alex Jones is an agent of evil. He should be taken off the air. He's the devil because he doesn't want you to take 4 shots. And I'm like, what are you doing calling me anti-Semitic? I'm not against groups. I don't get into group politics.
Adam, I've got the perfect answer for the ADL. They are going to have to listen up. What we did is we brought Netanyahu with us. Netanyahu. What do you have to say? What do you have to say to Alex Jones right now, Nick Fuentes, and Ye? It was bad. It was bad for Trump to meet with Nick and Ye. Okay. I had no idea your voice was going to sound like that, Netanyahu.
This is wild. I mean, even Alex Jones on the air was calling this crazy, and Ye was like, who are you calling crazy? And Alex Jones was like, the whole world is crazy. The whole world's crazy. What he really means is you are crazy. When Alex Jones is calling you crazy, obviously there is a problem. I mean, even Alex Jones, throughout the interview, again, the rich irony of this is that Alex Jones has finally been embarrassed by another human being. He is an embarrassing human being all on his own, and he was embarrassed by another human being here, being Ye. And you can actually see it on camera. Here's a little bit of that.
So you don't like Benjamin Netanyahu?
I just heard about this guy 2 weeks ago since, like, the tweet, and I thought he had a funny name. I heard he's, like, really into, like, he's like a super killer. I could die for saying this. So in case this is the last time you ever hear from me.
I'm glad you guys are here, and we can sit here and upset. All I'm telling you is, do you guys realize that the British government created Hitler and the Milner group put him in power, and there's something much more sophisticated? And I personally think that most Jews are great people, and I understand there's a Jewish mafia, and they're used to demonize anybody that promotes freedom, but I don't blame Jews in general.
Alex Jones trying to walk back Jew hatred there. I know the Jews made it, and the British created Hitler, but most Jews Alex Jones trying to play the moderate man. We'll get some more on this in just a moment. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's like taking a call on a train or bus on speaker for everybody to hear. You don't know who has access to your most private, sensitive information. Don't be the person reading your credit card in front of an entire bus. Here's why I use ExpressVPN. Internet service providers know every single website you visit. In the United States, they can legally sell that information to ad companies and tech giants who then use that data to target you. ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so people can't peep on your online activity. Just fire up the app, click one button. It works on phones, laptops, even routers, so everybody who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. No wonder it's rated number one by Business Insider and The Verge. If you're using the internet, there are a lot of prying eyes would love at your data. I'm talking about big government, big tech, and hackers who are grabbing your data and then they're reselling that data or are simply stealing that credit card number. Secure your online activity today at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Again, expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro and secure your data today.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, if you thought that Ye wasn't insane, why exactly is he defending Balenciaga? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Merry Christmas from Maaco. With the shopping season underway, tight parking lots can lead to minor fender benders, door dings, or even vehicle scratches. And Maaco Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive has the perfect Christmas gift or stocking stuffer. A gift certificate from Maaco, which can be applied to a new paint job or use it to repair dents, dings, and damage. Uh-oh, better call Maaco at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992. Merry Christmas from Maaco.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Considering the purchase of an e-bike? Why not get more bang for your buck? Redding Electric Utilities e-bike program offers $1,000 towards an e-bike and $150 towards a lock and helmet for income-eligible applicants. With gas and car prices on the rise, there's no better time to take advantage of the new cycling connections in Redding. Join the movement to save some green while going green. E-biking means more fun, more trails for your tires, and more smiles per mile. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebates.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So for all those who are still defending Ye West as sort of a great expositor of Christianity, I'm just wondering why he's defending Balenciaga this week. Yesterday, Ye West tweeted out before being banned from Twitter, which we'll discuss in a moment, quote, "I stand by Balenciaga and denounce all witch hunts, and I cancel culture. Jesus is king. Ending trafficking doesn't start or end with a fashion campaign, for Christ's sake." And then he tweeted again, featuring a picture of himself. Never turn our backs. Demna and the Balenciaga family for life. Cancel culture. Jesus, please heal. This person who is apparently standing against the anti-Christians out there is tweeting in favor of Balenciaga, which, as we discussed earlier this week, put out a full ad campaign with children carrying bears wearing bondage gear. Does this seem like calibrated behavior to you? I think not. This does raise some rather large-scale questions about the treatment of actual disturbed behavior in American society. There's been a long-time problem in American society with being able to label normal behavior and abnormal behavior. What you're seeing here is obviously abnormal, disturbed behavior. But American society, I think this is symptomatic of something greater. The fact that people have a tough time with this one, with labeling it, with actually recognizing what this is a symptom of a culture that, as I said earlier, really goes far too light on serious mental illness in terms of attempting to treat it and find it and do something about it, and goes way too heavy on milder forms of depression, anxiety, and things that are actually treatable but don't always need medication. Some of this goes back all the way to the 1960s. There is a famous psychologist named Thomas Szasz who wrote a book back in the 1960s called The Myth of Mental Illness, in which he basically suggests that mental illness was itself a myth. And here's what Thomas Szasz talked about in terms of mental illness. And this is sort of a seminal point in how we treat mental illness in this country and how we see mental illness in this country. And this has some pretty widespread ramifications because this is not just about yay. There are two major issues on the table. One is the anti-Semitism and the growing anti-Semitism in American society that unfortunately has been spreading on nearly all sides. Because forget about Ye being mad. There are literally millions of people who agree with Ye and look at what he said and think, maybe there's something there. That's a problem we have to discuss. But then there's a second problem. And that is that we are a society that is gradually growing more and more disturbed. We're seeing more and more disturbed behavior from vast majorities of people suggesting that they are members of a sex that is not their own, to people who are delusionally violent. We're a society that has, because we are so radically individually autonomous, we have basically decided that all forms of behavior are not mentally disturbed behavior. There's no such thing as mentally disturbed behavior. That's a serious problem. And it's something we have to discuss on a broader level. Here, going back to the 1960s, is Thomas Szasz talking about his view of the mental illness industry, essentially.
I look upon the mental health profession today as a gigantic apparatus of molestation.
Molestation? That's a loaded word.
Yeah.
How do you mean it?
Intrusive.
Mm-hmm.
Intrusive. The average person doesn't know how to resist mental health help. Look how much of it is directed to the three helpless groups: children, old people, prisoners. Prisoners are full of psychiatric drugs now. Right?
They go to jail for drugs.
They go to jail for drugs, and then go to jail for the drugs they like to take, and then when they're in jail, they are forced to take the drugs they don't want to take.
Mm-hmm.
That in some ways characterizes the American drug scene today. The drugs people want to take are illegal, and the drugs they don't want to take, psychiatry forces on them. Mm-hmm. And the mental health profession does not complain about this. On the contrary, it supports this.
So the idea from Szasz, and this has been taken up, again, this is a seminal work in sort of the history of American psychology and psychiatry, is that mental health care is mostly trying to control other people. It's mostly molestation, that when you see people who are disturbed and you try to actually change their behavior, this is a form of you invading their autonomy. Well, that's not true. When you watch somebody who is seriously disturbed, and we are watching this happen in real time with one of the biggest celebrities on the planet, when you watch that stuff happen, you're not doing anything sympathetic by pretending that this is just another aspect of autonomy. And we're seeing this society-wide. If you want to treat mental health seriously, you must treat mental health seriously. Because you've seen the costs of this on a societal level. You've seen it in terms of rising homelessness, violence in places like New York and L.A. There's a reason why Eric Adams, the new mayor of New York, has now suggested you might need involuntary commitment of the mentally ill who are not threatening to others but are threatening to themselves. And you've seen it in terms of the broad societal acceptance of ideas that are simply false. Mainstreaming mental illness is not a good thing. And pretending that it doesn't exist is not a good thing. And again, there are two sides to every coin. At the same time, over-pathologizing what is in the realm of normal behavior is bad as well. But we have to recognize both of those things are happening right now in the United States. Alrighty, coming up, Ye West was suspended from Twitter for his latest tweets. We'll get into that. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Stay up to date on seasonal vaccines to prevent the spread of COVID, RSV, and the flu. Visit the Wintu Cultural Tribal Center at 4755 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake on Saturday, December 3rd from 12 noon until 6:30 p.m. Keep your immunity strong this holiday season. This community clinic is brought to you by the California Department of Public Health and MyTurn.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day, I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best-tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Renting Kia would like to express their gratitude to all of our veterans and those currently enlisted for the service to our country. Stop by Renting Kia and see their exciting new lineup of fuel-saving hybrids, like the 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid, the 2023 Kia Sportage Hybrid, and the 2023 Kia Sorento Hybrid. All come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Happy holidays from Renting Kia. RentingKia.com.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive is proud to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute to thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces. North Valley Distributing, serving both the electrical and electronics industries, a one-stop shopping experience. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive. Call 530-222-1500. 530-222-1500. Proud to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Redding Kia would like to express their gratitude to all of our veterans and those currently enlisted for the service to our country. Stop by Redding Kia and see their exciting new lineup of fuel-saving hybrids, like the 2023 Kia Niro Hybrid, the 2023 Kia Sportage Hybrid, and the 2023 Kia Sorento Hybrid. All come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Happy holidays from Redding Kia. RedingKia.com.
Exam required to qualify.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Ye West was finally suspended from Twitter for his activities. He's been suspended from Twitter after this tweet storm last night that concluded with him tweeting out an image of the Jewish star, the Magen David, with a swastika inside, which is the most typical example of anti-Semitism. The anti-Semites, people who hate Jews, they have this very bizarre view of the Nazis, that the Jews are the new Nazis, but also that the Nazis were good. The most extreme version of the anti-Semitic story. You see this a lot in the radical Muslim world. As you'll see, Zionism is Nazism, but also Hitler wasn't bad. So it's weird to have it both ways that way, that Hitler was doing the right thing, but also the Jews are the new Hitler. But this is precisely what is argued by the world's worst anti-Semites. This is exactly what Ye was tweeting out amidst all the Holocaust denial last night. He ended up being banned from Twitter. Asked on Twitter by a user to fix Kanye, please. Elon Musk replied, I tried my best. Despite that, he again violated our rule against incitement to violence. Account will be suspended. West's account then began displaying a message saying it was suspended with no tweets visible. Musk, who owns Twitter, has described himself as a free speech absolutist. He has said that Twitter generally should only intervene to comply with local laws. West's account had been restored before, right, including after that tweet that said that he planned to go DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. Well, at a certain point here, he was asked, was Musk, about why he had banned Ye. He said it was incitement, and then somebody said, well, what about free speech? And he wrote FAFO, right, F around and find out, essentially. Now, is what Ye is doing tantamount to incitement? I don't think so, because I have a very strict legal standard for incitement. So do I think that Ye actually should be banned from Twitter? I think the answer is no. I don't think that Ye should be banned from Twitter. In fact, I think the more that Ye has exposed his own behavior, the less seriously people are likely to take his views. Because when you sit there doing weird Elmo voices, carrying a net and a bottle of Yoo-Hoo, people tend to take you less seriously. When you show up on Tim Pool with Milo Yiannopoulos and Nick Fuentes, and Tim Pool simply asks you why you are slandering all Jews, as opposed to just naming the Hollywood agents that you don't like, and you get up and you walk out. Sunlight is a pretty good disinfectant here. Do I think that Ye is responsible for actually inciting violence against people? No. Do I think he's raising the temperature radically? Absolutely. And I speak as somebody who's personally targeted by name, by Ye, in all of these interviews. Right? There's a reason I have 24/7 security. Do I think that Ye is responsible for incitement to the extent that would be necessary to ban him from a platform like Twitter? I do not. I understand why Musk did it. Do I think that Musk should have done it? I actually don't think that Musk should have done it. So all of these things can be true at once, as always. The Ye should not be banned from Twitter. Ye definitely needs treatment. People who are treating him seriously for their own purposes are sick deviants. The people around him who are using a person who's in the middle of a breakdown for their own purposes are perverse and cynical. Members of the media who are trying to use a madman's comments to tie him to an entire side of the political spectrum are well past their skis at this point. And also, the rising problem of Jew hatred in American society is very, very real. And it exists, unfortunately, on all sides. I've talked about before extensively on the program. When you're talking about Jew hatred in American society, you're talking about multiple forces that are converging on a single point. So you have white supremacists who believe that Jews are undermining Christendom, and that Jews are the problem in American society. That would be the Nick Fuentes category of Jew-hating anti-Semites. And then you have left-wing anti-Semites who suggest that Jews are essentially a conspiracy of power who are manipulating world forces in their own favor, right? The Jews are all the best capitalists. The Jews are in control of industry. The Jews are very powerful because in the Middle East, Israel has extensive military power. And so that's essentially just a conspiracy theory about Jews. It's sort of Protocols of the Elders of Zion style anti-Semitism, Jews in the back rooms controlling all of the levers of power. And that crosses streams sometimes with the white supremacist sort of a horseshoe theory here. But you see, that sort of conspiratorial Jews have the power anti-Semitism from the Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar wing of the Democratic Party. And then you also have some just old school racial anti-Semitism. The Jews as a race are perverse. The Jews as a race are somehow of tainted blood. And you see that mostly from the white supremacist side of the aisle. You also see this somewhat in the radical Muslim world when they call Jews the sons of pigs and monkeys and all of the rest. The question is why this is rising right now, because it clearly is rising. In the number of Jews who have been attacked in the United States is on the uptick. By the way, none of this means that Jews have it, quote unquote, bad in America. Jews do not have it bad in America. Jews are extraordinarily fortunate in America. If you look at Jewish history, America is the greatest country in world history for the Jews. America is an exceptionally free place. Jews have been extraordinarily successful in the United States. Jews right now are generally safe in the United States unless you're walking around wearing a yarmulke on the streets of Williamsburg or New Jersey, places in New Jersey. However, the question is not sort of how bad are things on an absolute level for Jews. The question is why the tide is rising in terms of anti-Semitism. And the answer typically is that a confident society, a society that believes in its own moral status, a society that doesn't feel threatened by minority groups that are successful within it, doesn't feel the need to target the Jews. When everything is coming apart at the seams, when madness is roaming free, and we talked about individual madness before in the context of Ye, but when we talk about societal madness is a fragmented social psychology in which we can't agree on basic values at all. We don't share the same set of fact patterns. We don't share the same news. We don't share the same basic ideas of what reality constitutes. We don't share the same moral system. When that happens, as society tends to tear apart, as the social fabric is strained, and as those threads start to stretch, anti-Semitism starts seeping through. Because anti-Semitism, in the end, is a giant conspiracy theory about power in the world and blaming it on a minority. And the minority typically is the Jews, for whatever reason. If you're a person of the Bible, you believe it's because this was said in the Bible. If you're not a person of the Bible, it would be because Jews are very successful minorities. And you see this with other successful middlemen, what they call middlemen minorities. For example, ethnic Chinese in certain countries in East Asia. But in the West, it's typically been the Jews. And so when society starts to fragment, when society starts to come apart, when it doesn't have the confidence in itself that it used to have, when it doesn't have anything that's shared, typically all the guns turn on the Jews. And that's what we're starting to see on all sides. A little bit more on this in a moment, but first a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Anti-Semitism has also become a bit of a political football here, meaning that what you will see is people condemning on the right anti-Semitism on the left. They're very happy to condemn Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. But when it's coming from Nick Fuentes, or when it is coming from Ye West, or when it is coming from people on the right, then all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, the left won't condemn anti-Semitism on their side, so why should we condemn anti-Semitism on ours? That is not the way that you condemn anti-Semitism. You see the same thing on the left. The ADL will be all over Donald Trump for having dinner with the AUS, but they'll have nothing to say about Nancy Pelosi doing a cover photo shoot with Ilhan Omar. They'll have nothing to say about Louis Farrakhan in the halls of Congress with members of the Congressional Black Caucus, historically speaking. They'll have nothing to say about that sort of stuff. Well, the answer is that if anti-Semitism is only if Jew hatred is only something that you care about on your own side of the aisle, you don't care about Jew hatred. It's that simple. But we're going to have to come together over something in this country, because if we don't come together over something, we will come apart over everything. And that's what we're watching right now. Historically speaking, successful countries that are confident in their own values do not feel the necessity to go after the middlemen minorities. They don't feel the necessity to go after the Jews. All of the darkest powers in life are kept in check. That is no longer happening. And that's why you're seeing madness being treated as normalcy in the case of Ye West until it becomes so clear that he's got a Yoo-hoo bottle and a net, and he's doing a weird voice on Alex Jones. And it's also why, if you just shade it slightly, right, if you take what Ye is saying, and you just shade it slightly, you rub off the rough edges, then suddenly it starts to look like a lot of crap that you see in the halls of academia in the United States. You see it coming from Berkeley professors. Not in the weird form of a guy who is wearing a black hoodie, like full-on face mask on his face, like a gimp mask on his face, but in the form of a highfalutin professor at a major Ivy League university. The sickness and cancer that is Jew hatred, yes, it's about Jews because it's targeting Jews, but really it's more about the society that allows Jew hatred to thrive. So when we have a society that is allowing Jew hatred to continue and increase because of all these conspiracy theories from the far right and from the left and from everybody in between, when you start to see that, when you simultaneously see a society that has so little confidence in the very idea of individual mental normalcy that we are absolutely unwilling to actually even say that somebody has a problem and that person's problem is a very serious problem. And the only time we ever say that somebody has a serious problem, by the way, is if they politically disagree with us, right? The only time that we'll ever say that they, like, you'll see the left, they'll be, oh, you know who's really mentally ill? That's Donald Trump. That's a guy who's seriously mentally ill. But when it comes to people on your own side of the aisle, you just go completely silent. When that is the kind of society that you are, that is so polarized around particular political narratives that you can't call out clear violations of norms, there are no norms left to violate. And when there are no norms left to violate, then it turns out that everything breaks down incredibly quickly and things get very ugly very, very fast. That's why I think you're seeing a lot of nervousness in American society from a lot of Jewish people right now. Because again, whether it is the New York Times downplaying anti-Semitic attacks in Williamsburg, or whether it is some people on the right pretending that there is not a rising tide of anti-Semitism on the very, very far right, it's egregious stuff. It's egregious stuff. And it speaks more to the anti-Semitism is rarely the disease. The anti-Semitism isn't even the cancer. Societal cancer is the disease. And anti-Semitism is its most obvious symptom. Right, in just one second, we'll get to LeBron James, who has some comments about Jerry Jones. But first, let's talk about how you take a rest in the middle of the day. So you've got your Calyx Sleep mattress, right? You got your personalized mattress. Well, now you come home, it's 3:30, you're wiped out, you need to lie down on the couch, but you don't have a great couch. Your couch is a piece of junk. Instead, you need to replace that thing with an all-form. If you're looking for a cozy place to curl up with a good book or something stylish and comfortable enough to turn into your new favorite spot to put up your feet and relax, you need all-form sofas. All their pieces are American-made and easy to assemble. They are scratch and stain-resistant, and they are great for anyone with kids and pets. So what makes an all-form sofa really cool? Well, all-form sofas are modern yet timeless seating pieces. They come in a wide variety of sizes, shapes, and configurations. It's the easiest way you can customize a sofa using premium materials at a fraction of the cost of traditional stores. All-form sofas are shipped directly to your door. They can be assembled in just a few minutes without any tools. We have one at our house. It is a sand color three-seat couch. It came with a chaise, and it's really, really comfortable. It's modular, so you can add onto your sofa as your family grows, for example. If getting a sofa without trying it in store sounds risky, don't worry because Allform offers a 100-day risk-free trial. That is more than 3 months. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up for free. They'll give you a full refund. Allform's durable, high-quality sofa is so well-made, it offers a lifetime warranty option. So if your sofa breaks down, you can repair or replace it for literally the rest of your life. Allform is offering 20% off all orders for our listeners right now at allform.com/Ben. Step up your sofa game today. All right, coming up, LeBron James is ticked off at the media because they're not asking him the right questions or something. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
The tradition continues at the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista, featuring delicious steaks and seafood, chicken, soups, salads, and much more. The Dry Creek Station, family-owned and operated, open since 1992, serving dinner Tuesday through Sunday from 5 to 9 p.m., with happy hour from 3 to 5, and don't miss their fantastic weekend specials. The Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. So come on down to the Dry Creek Station, where quality and value meet.
Join us this year for the 18th annual Cascade Christmas, a song and dance extravaganza, a Reading tradition.
With a cast of nearly 30 characters singing and dancing on the Cascade Theater stage.
Come with me, Jack's Radio, as we take a tour through the North Pole for the first time ever.
Happening one weekend only, December 1st through 4th, featuring evening and matinee performances.
Get tickets at 243-8877 or at cascadetheater.org.
Come have a jingle good time at Cascade Christmas, a Reading tradition.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So LeBron James has gotten extraordinarily cush treatment from the media, but he's mad at them anyway. He's upset at the media because they didn't ask him questions about Jerry Jones. Now, what you ask does Jerry Jones have to do with anything? Well, Jerry Jones is the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. And about a week ago, there was a report in the Washington Post by David Marinus and Sally Jenkins about Jerry Jones. And the report was that Jerry Jones, when he was 14 years old, was at North Little Rock High. So this is in 1957, because he was born in 1943. And he is standing a few yards from where six black students were being jostled and repelled with snarling racial slurs by ringleaders of a mob, again, in Arkansas. At one point, a black student named Richard Lindsay recalled someone in the crowd put a hand on the back of his neck. A voice behind him said, "I want to see how an N-word feels." The ruffian hostility succeeded in turning away the would-be new enrollees. The confrontation occurred 65 years ago. On September 9, 1957, during the same month, a higher-profile integration effort was taking place at Little Rock Central High in the capital city a few miles away. The story of the Little Rock Nine, when President Dwight D. Eisenhower dispatched federal troops to escort the trailblazing black students past the spitting hordes, is regarded as a pivotal moment in the civil rights movement. It overshadowed the ugly events unfolding contemporaneously at Jones's High School on the other side of the Arkansas River, an episode mostly lost to history, though not entirely. The photograph, taken by William Strader of the AP, shows a young Jones wearing a striped shirt craning for a better view, looking like a little burrhead, as he said in a recent interview with the Washington Post, acknowledging his presence on the steps that day. He was 1 month from turning 15. He showed up near the conflict's epicenter, stationed on the top landing near the school's double-leaf entry doors, a face in a rear row of human bulwark intent on keeping people out because of the color of their skin. Jones said he was there only to watch, not participate. He said, "I don't know that I or anybody anticipated or had a background of knowing what was involved. It was more of a curious thing." But the photographs indicate Jones had to scurry around the North Little Rock Six to reach the top of the stairs before the black students completed their walk up the schoolhouse door. And while Jones offered a common explanation of the confrontation, that it was the work of older white supremacists, most of those surrounding the six young black men were teenagers. Jerry Jones is now 80. Okay, so if you actually look at the picture, what you will see is a bunch of guys who look like they are ranging in age from maybe 17 to 30, surrounding these black students and jostling them. And then in the very back of the crowd, you can see Jerry Jones as a 14-year-old looking on curiously. Okay, so what does this have to do with LeBron James? Well, LeBron James has been asked repeatedly about Kyrie Irving. And the reason he's been asked about Kyrie Irving is because Kyrie Irving tweeted out a video from Amazon that was distributed on Amazon that was a Holocaust-denying, bizarre black Hebrew-Israelite conspiracy theory about how the blacks are the real Jews and all the rest of this, and this ended with an overwrought suspension from the NBA for Kyrie Irving. As a general matter, I believe that sports leagues should not be suspending members of the league based on their viewpoint, largely because I think that they sometimes get it wrong. And almost always, it allows people like me to say, wait, hold up. Half your league is using cocaine and nailing prostitutes. But this guy tweeted out a video from Amazon. Like, I'm not sure exactly what your standards are. And that's true for every league. The standards are really, really bizarre. Anyway, LeBron James was asked about that, but one of the reasons that he was asked about that is because he sort of came out in quasi-defense of Kyrie Irving, and that had followed his own history of anti-Semitic comments. He had tweeted out before statements about Jew money and all the rest. So LeBron James is going to use this as an opportunity to go after the media. LeBron James is going to say, why isn't the media asking me about Jerry Jones? Well, maybe the reason the media is not asking about Jerry Jones is because Jerry Jones was 14 years old in 1957, and the story is 65 years old in a sport that is not your own. And you have been particularly hesitant to call out causes in which you are directly involved or leagues in which you are directly involved with your friends. Maybe that would be why. But according to LeBron James, obviously it's media racism.
I was wondering why I haven't gotten a question from you guys about the Jerry Jones photo. But when the Kyrie thing was going on, you guys were quick to ask us questions about that. As a black man, as a black athlete, as someone with power and a platform, when we do something wrong or something that people don't agree with, it's on every single tabloid, every single news coverage. It's on the bottom ticker. It's asked about every single day. But it seems like to me that the whole Jerry Jones situation photo, and I know it was years and years ago and we all make mistakes, I get it. But it seemed like it's just been buried under, like, oh, it happened. Okay, we just move on.
Well, I mean, just to be clear, the story itself says that Jerry Jones was 14 years old. So I have a basic rule. The basic rule is that if you're under, say, 17 years of age, and the event happened 60-plus years ago, and there was no actual criminal activity, and it's a picture of you, that's not much of a story. I'm sorry to say that, but it's not much of a story. Like, you can't even attribute full motive to Jerry Jones when he is 14 years old, standing at the back of a crowd looking on at an incident that's happening at his school. Have you ever met a 14-year-old kid going to a high school? Like, under any circumstances? If there's, like, a shiny light, all the kids run around. But, in any case, there's no way to actually attribute that action to Jerry Jones, but LeBron is very exercised over the fact that he wasn't asked about the Jerry Jones photo, but he was asked about Kyrie. Well, maybe it's because LeBron James has sounded off on pretty much every topic. He doesn't need to be asked about Jerry Jones. He'll just sound off about it. He won't sound off about Chinese human rights violations because he's getting paid too much money by China. He'll sound off about how America is terrible, how America is racist and horrible, but he'll go completely silent when it comes to anti-Semitic nonsense from members of his own league. That would be the reason. But again, the idea here in the sports world is that everybody is racist. I guess the same people who are paying you hundreds of millions, I mean, LeBron James is a billionaire. The same people who are paying you tons and tons of money to watch you play sports are somehow racist because they didn't ask you about Jerry Jones. Strange. Here's Stephen A. Smith doing the same routine. Again, a man who is paid a lot of money to shout on your TV.
I can't applaud LeBron enough for what he said. Mm-hmm. I 1,000% agree with LeBron James because that wasn't about Jerry Jones. But what LeBron was talking about is unavoidable. The media. Trump says something. They asked LeBron about it. They asked LeBron about the presidential campaign when Trump was running against Hillary Rodham Clinton. Now, obviously, him endorsing Hillary Rodham Clinton had something to do with that. But clearly, LeBron James has been subjected to question after question after question. But suddenly, when it came to Jerry Jones, you didn't ask? Because I assure you, if I was in that press room, I would have asked LeBron about it. I would have said, yo, mm-hmm. LeBron, by the way, how do you feel about this?
Oh, it must be racism. It must be racism. Mm-hmm. It is funny how far we will go in search of racism. Meanwhile, there are other forms of bigotry in the United States that are, in fact, rising. Racism in the United States against black Americans has been on the decline markedly since the 1960s. I mean, obviously. And then when it comes to other forms of bigotry, say, for example, official bigotry against Asians at major American schools, that we just ignore. When it comes to the uptick in anti-Semitism, depending upon who the source of the anti-Semitism is, we just kind of look the other way. on that sort of stuff. So if this is the best that LeBron can do, again, LeBron has never even really seriously been asked about his own viewpoints. Forget about Jerry Jones. All of this is obviously very tiring and destructive to the American fabric, but that is sort of the norm of the day. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Twitter CEO Elon Musk is revealing what went on behind the scenes at Twitter when the social platform blocked a New York Post article on Hunter Biden during the final weeks of the 2020 presidential election. Included in today's tweets were screenshots of email requests from people in the Biden administration asking contacts within Twitter to take action against various tweets. The original 2020 New York Post story detailed contents of the laptop that was left at a computer repair shop. The laptop belonged to Hunter Biden. The group of seven nations, along with Australia, joined the European Union in setting a $60 per barrel price cap on Russian oil, a key step as Western sanctions aim to reorder the global oil market to prevent price spikes and starve President Vladimir Putin of funding for his war in Ukraine. National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby says the price cap on Russian oil is appropriate.
Limiting Mr. Putin's ability to profit off of oil sales and limit his ability to continue to use that money to fund his war machine.
Price cap aims to prevent a sudden loss of Russian oil to the world that could lead to a new surge in energy prices. The nation's 988 call service for helping anyone experiencing a mental health emergency is back up and running.
The hotline was out of service on Thursday, but was restored shortly before midnight and was running on Friday. People experiencing a mental health crisis were still able to reach a mental health counselor by texting 988 or visiting 988lifeline.org to start a chat. A Health and Human Services spokeswoman says the federal government is investigating the hotline's outage. John Scott reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
My name's Adam Barada. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold, the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager. As you know, the culmination of my life's work has been writing my Rational Bible Commentary series. I have done Genesis, Exodus, and the just-released Deuteronomy. They are all called the Rational Bible because my approach is entirely reason-based. So if you're looking for the perfect holiday gift, even for someone with no faith, in fact, especially, I recommend giving them my Rational Bibles. Go to PragerStore.com. You can buy them individually or as a complete set. That's PragerStore.com or click the banner on my website.
America's newest nuclear stealth bomber makes its public debut after years of secret development. Bob Agnew reports.
The B-21 Raider is the first new American bomber aircraft in more than 30 years. It's part of the Pentagon's effort to modernize all three legs of its nuclear triad, which also includes silo-launched nuclear ballistic missiles and submarine-launched warheads. The goal is to stave off a rising threat from China. It's on track to have 1,500 nuclear weapons by 2035, and it's seen recent gains in hypersonics and cyber and space warfare capacities. Bob Agnew reporting.
A joint venture between General Motors and South Korean battery company LG Energy Solution says it will invest an additional $275 million to expand a Tennessee battery cell factory for electric vehicles. Officials with the companies had already pledged to spend $2.3 billion to build a battery plant in Spring Hill, Tennessee. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. Researchers at the University of Houston demonstrate a potential weapon to fight the nation's growing fentanyl crisis. Correspondent Ed Donahue reports.
Dr. Colin Hale's team is working on a vaccine. Hale says you get the vaccine, you develop antibodies against fentanyl. Texas Governor Greg Abbott met with the researchers.
Quite literally, fentanyl is killing Texas.
Abbott says the problem is not just in his state, it's nationwide.
Over the past year, about 1,400 Texans lost their lives because of fentanyl.
Hale says current fentanyl treatments are not adequate and we need a different strategy. I'm Ed Donahue.
Meanwhile, prosecutors in Mexico say police found 660 pounds of fentanyl pills packed in coconuts. Coconuts were found in a truck traveling on a highway in the northern border state of Sonora. Prosecutors say the truck was detected Thursday on a road that runs along the Gulf of California, also known as the Sea of Cortez. More on these stories at townhall.com.
It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift-giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift-giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
For all of you who have served us, let us serve you. Veterans, police, firefighters, EMTs, and your family, please come join us on December 3rd for a servicemen's feast from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the VFW Hall located at 3210 Center Street, Anderson, California. This is a free holiday lunch with all the fixings for you. Again, it's on December 3rd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the VFW Hall at 3210 Center Street, Anderson, California. Presented by Missing in America Project. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Thousands of my listeners have already secured their network data. Join them at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. So a lot of interesting debate breaking out in big tech circles about the nature of free speech and how broad it should be. So Elon Musk buying Twitter obviously has something to do with this. Musk let on a bunch of accounts. Then, of course, he banned Ye today, and he banned Ye because of his bizarrely Jew-hating tweets. Now, as I said before, I don't actually think that that amounts to incitement. I think it's ugly and hideous. I don't think it amounts to incitement necessary to actually ban somebody from social media. And frankly, I think that the exposure of Ye as a mentally ill, disturbed individual is probably undercutting his anti-Semitic agenda. With that said, there is a broader conversation that has now begun to creep into the public sphere about how free speech needs to be broadened on a lot of outlets. So, for example, Amazon CEO Andy Jassy was asked about the video that Kyrie Irving tweeted out. It was a video from the Black Hebrew Israelites that essentially suggested the Holocaust didn't happen and all the rest. And there were a lot of people who were saying, why doesn't Amazon take that down, right? Why are we yelling at Kyrie for tweeting it out rather than Amazon for keeping it up? Which is a dumb argument. I've always thought that was a dumb argument. Why would you yell at Amazon for keeping it? Do you yell at the library for having Mein Kampf in it, or do you yell at the guy who's outside quoting Mein Kampf on the street corner? Like, which one of those is worse? The library is a place with a lot of books. The person who takes Mein Kampf out of the library and stands on a street corner shouting phrases from it is a bit different. And Andy Jassy says the right thing. He says, we're not going to take down videos at the behest of people who are upset that the videos exist.
Kyrie Irving on social media pushed out this Hebrew to Negroes Wake Up Black America film and book. This is a film and book that is sold on Amazon. And as you know, he was suspended from the NBA. And you've gotten letters from Mila Kunis and Deborah Messing and all sorts of people in Hollywood. The ADL has come out and asked you to take this book off the site. What's your view?
When you have content whose primary purpose is not to espouse hate or ascribe negative characteristics to people, that is much trickier and a very slippery slope if we take a lot of those out of the store. I think that you have to have principles if you're going to manage something as large as we do with hundreds of millions of customers. And again, to me, you have to be willing to allow viewpoints that are different from your own if the primary purpose of the content is not hate.
That is absolutely true. He is not wrong about any of that. And I prefer a system in which videos I hate are on Amazon, and in which videos that all of my opponents hate are also on Amazon. I would definitely prefer that. I mean, this is the same Amazon that tried to deplatform Abigail Schreier's Irreversible Damage. So I prefer a platform that allows Irreversible Damage and Mein Kampf, as opposed to banning both of them at the behest of somebody at the top. You're seeing the same sort of attitude now actually taking hold at Netflix. So Netflix CEO Reed Hastings, he was asked about Dave Chappelle, is all at the New York Times DealBook Summit. He was asked about Dave Chappelle and Dave Chappelle's routine, which is supposedly transphobic. And he was like, we'll hire Dave Chappelle anytime, correct?
Dave Chappelle created some controversy, as you know, on your platform. And we've been talking also about platforming sometimes hate speech or anti-Semitic speech or other kinds of speech. How do you think about that today?
Yeah. Our brand is trying to be the most exciting entertainment company in the world. And Chappelle is dead center for us. He is the best or one of the best. And that special was one of the most entertaining and watched specials we've ever had. We would do it again and again.
Okay, now, I just hope that they actually maintain those standards when it comes to stuff that offends the left a little more than Dave Chappelle. Meanwhile, speaking of big tech and its willingness to cave to political pressure, once we go abroad, things start to get a little more dicey. So Apple CEO Tim Cook was testifying in Congress, and a reporter asked him about China and the relationship between Apple and China, and he just kept on walking, because this is what you do. If you're Apple and you manufacture the iPhone 14 in China, and to rip on China would cost you literally billions upon billions of dollars, then you just keep walking when you're asked about shutting down AirDrop in advance of a bunch of protests in China. AirDrop, of course, being the service that allows people to share information without having to access the internet.
Mr. Cook, do you support the Chinese people's right to protest?
Keep on walking, Tim Cook.
Do you have any reaction to the factory workers that were beaten and detained for protesting COVID lockdowns? Do you regret restricting AirDrop access that protesters used to evade surveillance from the Chinese government?
Keep on walking, Tim Cook.
Do you think it's problematic to do business with the Communist Chinese Party when they suppress human rights?
He's just going to keep on walking. We'll get some more on this in just one second. First, with the holidays coming around the corner, many of us are going to be traveling to see family and loved ones. You might find yourself away from home more often than not. That's why I've decided to team up with Ring. With Ring security products, you can rest easy knowing your home and family are safe when you are not there. That Ring doorbell, it'll notify you when guests or packages arrive. Ring's indoor cameras let you keep an eye on kids and pets while you're away. Ring alarm will alert you of any motion detection while the house is empty. Plus, if you add smart lighting around your home, you can turn lights on or off while you're away. Ring's home security products don't just help keep your home and family safe. They make perfect gifts for everybody on your list. I've been relying on Ring to keep my family and my home safe for literally years at this point. And since I have security concerns, that means an awful lot. Head on over to ring.com/collections/offers. Find out how you can live a little more stress-free this season with a Ring product that is right for you. That's ring.com/collections/offers. Go check them out right now. There are plenty of ways you can make your home safer and more secure and feel more secure about your home when you're not there. Ring helps you do it. Head on over to ring.com/collections/offers to get started today. Again, that's ring.com/collections/offers. Now, to a certain extent, I think that this is largely the preserve of government. Tim Cook and Apple, they're competing against various other companies, including a bunch of Chinese companies that have been ripping off their technology. With that said, it's time for governments to actually say that we need to cut China off from the world economic system if they are going to participate in this sort of activity. Because, I mean, this is an authoritarian government with a capital A. Videos emerging from China now of people literally being dragged off to quarantine camps, even if they are not diagnosed with COVID. And this guy, apparently, in this video, was not diagnosed with COVID. He apparently had tested negative 4 times. But he was told to show up at a quarantine camp. He was actually afraid to go to the quarantine camp because he was afraid he would get COVID at the quarantine camp. Here's some video of Chinese authorities arriving and wearing white hazmat suits to literally physically drag this person off to quarantine. He's sitting on a couch. They're grabbing him bodily and trying to pull him. One says, "Young fellow, put on your mask." He says, "There's no other way." And they're pulling him physically off of his couch. They says, "Are you disobeying the party? Are you disobeying the party?" And they're physically pulling him off his couch to drag him to quarantine. So things are going amazingly well over in China. Now, you would imagine that this might occasion, I don't know, broad spectrum condemnation in the United States, particularly from our health officials, right? Not so much. Our health officials here in the United States, they've been mostly focused on the idea that, you know, lockdowns might sometimes be necessary. You just never know. You just never know when they're necessary. Like, here's the problem that has been created by this whole situation for our health officials. The problem that has been created is that our health officials would still like to leave some of these possibilities on the table. And because the people in China are protesting mass COVID lockdowns. This makes it very uncomfortable because it's visible to everybody what kind of human rights violations are going on in China. Then again, it was also visible to everybody what kind of human rights violations were going on in Australia in the middle of this pandemic, what kind of human rights violations were going on in Canada in the middle of this pandemic. You know, people in Australia being arrested for walking on the street, being on the beach, drone footage of them as the police came and arrested them. Over in Canada, people's bank accounts being shut down for the great sin of driving trucks to the Capitol and protesting COVID lockdowns and COVID procedures. So the focus instead in the United States and in Europe as well has been, how do we achieve unity on behalf of the government? Well, maybe when you look at China, what you should be seeing is the possibility of a West that does the exact same thing if given the right conditions. Anthony Fauci, who just will not go away. This is the longest farewell tour. My goodness, like 162 games of farewell tour here for Anthony Fauci. He did an interview with the Washington Post titled The Exit Interview, but he's never exiting. When will he leave? Just leave. He says, well, you know, the big problem here is it appears that we are enemies more of each other than the virus. Maybe that's partially because of you. Maybe it's because you lied to the American people repeatedly or gave them bad information repeatedly. Maybe it's because we were lied to about the efficacy of the vaccine in terms of transmission. Maybe it's because we were lied to about masking. Maybe it's because you guys said that we should shut down the schools and still say that perhaps we should shut down schools come the winter. I mean, it turns out that authoritarianism tends to breed dissent. Here's Anthony Fauci decrying the dissent.
Do you think the pandemic would have played out differently had it not emerged in a presidential election year?
I feel that the divisiveness that we have in this country is unfortunate under any circumstances, but is particularly unfortunate when what the country needs to do is pull together and care about each other and follow these very clear public health principles and recognize that the enemy is the virus. It's not each other. And if you look around at some of the things that have gone on in our country, it appears that we are more enemies of each other than we are of the virus.
Well, we are certainly enemies of policies that lock us in our homes and shut down our businesses and destroy our life savings and prevent our kids from going to school. Because if it were just a very clear solution with the virus, then everybody would have just done it. If it were a very clear and present threat and a very, very clear and present solution, everybody would have just done it. But it wasn't about that. It was about the public policy that sprang therefrom. Meanwhile, Anthony Fauci complained that the real reason for failure is, of course, because of disinformation, misinformation, and all the rest.
How are we going to combat misinformation, specifically regarding vaccinations in a country where after a million plus and counting deaths from COVID-19, still a third of the country refuses to be vaccinated or follow suggested protocols?
To me, the best way to counter the dissemination of misinformation and disinformation is to get people with correct information to flood the system with correct information. The people who are spreading misinformation and disinformation seem to be relentless in their pursuit of spreading misinformation, whereas those who have correct information that would be beneficial to society just don't spend all their time spreading misinformation and disinformation. It's almost as if we're outgunned by the people who are spreading disinformation.
I mean, but you guys spread your own disinformation the whole time. I mean, a lot of disinformation. Right now you're telling people that they must have the booster shot because if they don't get the booster shot, they'll infect their friends. There's only one problem. The best available data suggests that the booster shot, at best, has an efficacy rate of about 20%, which is a not good efficacy rate. It's marginally better than zero. So, by the way, we don't even have long-term information about the efficacy of the booster shots. We didn't have information long-term for kids, and you were pushing this stuff for small children. And we've been pushing stuff harder than even the Europeans have been pushing stuff. And yet you have Anthony Fauci and the health authorities essentially suggesting that we ought to shut down the spigots of information because it might include misinformation. Then is it any wonder why they've gone soft on China, why they've gone really silent on Chinese policy? If they really were moderates, wouldn't they be out there shouting at China they should cut out the zero COVID policy, they should stop all this? But they're not. They're out there instead decrying how America isn't unified enough behind them. By the way, obviously the mass protests in China are having some sort of impact. According to the New York Times, in the southern Chinese city of Guangzhou, residents returned to work on Thursday for the first time in weeks after COVID-19 lockdowns were lifted. In Chongqing, in the southwest, some residents were no longer required to take regular COVID tests. In Beijing, a senior health official played down the severity of the current Omicron variant, a rare move for the government. The development suggests the ruling Communist Party may be starting to back down on unpopular COVID restrictions in response to a wave of mass protests that have been the most widespread challenge to Beijing in decades. When protesters rallied in a dozen cities over the past weekend, fueled by anger over the country's strict lockdowns, Beijing initially responded with security measures focused on rounding up protesters and deterring others from taking part in gatherings. Now, the party is also, to some extent and in some places, signaling a willingness to address the root cause of the public anger. Intrusive pandemic controls that have stifled economic growth, left millions of people confined in their homes for long stretches, and set off violent clashes as recently as this week. The party has still not publicly acknowledged the widespread demonstrations against lockdowns, but top security officials have warned that the authorities would crack down on criminal acts that disrupt social order. The policing measures have mostly muted the protests for now. The need to tamp down the public discontent has grown more urgent, with the death of Jiang Zemin, a former president whose passing on Wednesday could inspire more people to demonstrate against the government. So China is starting to look with a wary eye at the size of the protests that are happening. Even China's moderating. Meanwhile, Anthony Fauci apparently will never moderate, or if he does, it will be very, very late. We'll get to more on this in just a moment. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's like taking a call on a train or bus on speaker for everybody to hear. You don't know who has access to your most private, sensitive information. Don't be the person reading your credit card in front of an entire bus. Here's why I use ExpressVPN. Internet service providers know every single website you visit. In the United States, they can legally sell that information to ad companies and tech giants who then use that data to target you. ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so people can't peep on your online activity. Just fire up the app, click one button. It works on phones, laptops, even routers, so everybody who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. No wonder it's rated number one by Business Insider and The Verge. If you're using the internet, there are a lot of prying eyes who would love your data. I'm talking about big government, big tech, and hackers who are grabbing your data and then they're reselling that data or are simply stealing that credit card number. Secure your online activity today at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Again, expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro and secure your data today. Already coming up, Joe Biden continues to stumble around on the world stage. Doesn't mean he isn't getting things done. He is, and they're bad. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Joe Biden did another press conference where he sounded incoherent. Joe Biden is still out there trying to soldier through the rest of his presidency because, again, who knows whether he's going to run for a second term or not. He did a presser in France that was replete with his usual oddities, including saying that he has a list of reporters he is going to call on. Was this a regular thing? Was this like a regular feature of the Trump administration? He would go out there with a list and call on people? Or is it only Joe Biden who has to be handled this way?
Okay, who's the next question? Got my list here. My turn to call on someone?
Oh, my gosh. This confused old man. And then he joked at one point. He came into the press and he said, I'm just here to tell you that we're leaving, which is always great. And in the assault on the press, danger to democracy.
Well, it's great to see you all today. President Macron and I have had a chance to spend some time together. We went to private dinner last night with our wives, and just came to tell you that we're leaving.
Yeah, well, one of the more threatening things about the Biden administration, and this was always the most threatening thing about the Biden administration, is that this veneer of a doddering elderly old man who can barely string together sentences, combined with extraordinarily radical policy, actually has been quite effective. This is a point that Newt Gingrich has made. I mean, if you actually look at what Joe Biden has been able to ram through over the course of the last couple of years, it is extraordinary stuff. I mean, he spent $7 trillion. He has rammed through executive orders with no predicate in law. In fact, the Supreme Court on Thursday agreed to decide whether the Biden administration can cancel student loan debt for millions of Americans, putting the matter on a fast-track timeline that should produce a final ruling by the end of June. The court, in an unsigned order, didn't act on the administration's emergency request that it be allowed to move forward with the debt relief immediately. But the justices set arguments for the matter for this winter, agreeing to the White House's alternative request that the court take up the case to decide whether the debt forgiveness is a lawful exercise of presidential power. Now, this has always been the cynical game that this White House was going to play, which is they're going to promise you that they can relieve student loan debt with no authority. Then they were going to wait for the Supreme Court to strike down that usurpation of authority, and then they were going to blame the right-wing Supreme Court. Oh, if it were for them, you'd have $25,000. In your pocket, but because of them. I mean, easiest game in the world to play. And look for it from every future president. Right? Next president will come in and say, every single person here gets $1 million in the mail. I've issued an executive order. Each of you receives $1 million, a publisher's clearinghouse check for $1 million. And then somebody challenges it and goes to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court says, no, you can't do that. He says, you know who's standing in the way of you receiving $1 million? Those guys. Easiest game in the world. The administration is taking its case to the Supreme Court, tweeted White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain. Several marquee initiatives of the Biden administration have met their end at the Supreme Court, as the Wall Street Journal points out. The justices, typically breaking along conservative liberal lines, have stymied the White House plans to extend the COVID-19 measures, including an eviction moratorium and a vaccine or test mandate for large employers, and blocked efforts to overhaul Trump-era immigration and environmental policies. Biden's efforts to forgive educational debt might face similar headwinds from a conservative majority skeptical of his powers. The lawsuit before the Supreme Court was brought by Republican officials in six states who claimed the program was an unlawful exercise of presidential authority that would affect state revenues and tax receipts. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is now attempting to get Congress to ram down on the railroad unions a deal, essentially. So it's amazing. He's willing to declare executive power, unique plenary executive power over nearly everything. But when it comes time to cram down a deal on the unions, he needs his friends in Congress to really do it. You know, again, typical political game. When it pisses off my allies, it's not me, it's me and Congress. When it's something that would make people happy if it passed, but it's illegal, I'll just do it myself. So right now, we are on the verge of a massive railroad strike that would really harm the supply chains just before Christmas. And Joe Biden has gone to Congress, and he has gotten passed in Congress a mandate to break the strike, essentially. This led Benjamin Applebaum, who's a real liberal over at the New York Times, to rip into Joe Biden, suggesting that if he really cared about unions, then he would force everybody back to the table. He said Mr. Biden can still deliver a more equitable outcome. He said in a statement on Thursday he'll sign the bill as soon as he receives it, but if the president means a word of what he says about the value of unions and the needs of workers, he will instead refuse to sign this bill and press the railroads to offer workers a better deal. Well, Joe Biden isn't going to do that because, again, the political fallout of an actual strike would be too much for him. And Joe Biden is a radical leftist until there's blowback. At that point, he sort of walks back softly from the radical leftism, which is just another reason why it's important for the American public to sound off, and it's too bad that they decided not to rebuke him in the 2022 midterm elections. Alrighty, coming up, Sam Bankman-Fried. Remember that guy? He's the FTX guy who maybe stole a couple $1 billion. Well, he's doing a rehab tour. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, CJ, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Clean Car Wash at 1210 Market Street in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash packages starting at just $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons and get 1 free. Or buy 10 and get 3 free. Quick and Clean All Cloth Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has the perfect gift for Christmas or for your car or truck. Stop by 1210 Market Street in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean. KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour, featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour, starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Lies,
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Sam Bankman-Fried's rehab tour is on. It is good to be Sam Bankman-Fried. You just steal, apparently, billions of dollars from the users of FTX. And then you still get to go to, like, the Dealbook Summit, and people clap for you and cheer for you. He is a very weird dude, Sam Bankman-Fried. He was at the Dealbook Summit. He also did an interview with George Stephanopoulos trying to explain his perspective. And if you are his lawyer, at this point, you're just shouting at him, just stop, just stop. It is amazing how many prominent people don't listen to their lawyers. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Guys, first rule of business, when you hire a lawyer, listen to your lawyer. If you're on the verge of having committed criminal conduct, or if you may have committed, if you're under investigation for criminal conduct, shut up and listen to you. But apparently not Sam Bankman-Fried. He's confident enough in his own connections that he feels like he can just show up to these Dealbook Summits from the Bahamas wearing a T-shirt, his hair all done out, and just look weirdly into the camera and explain to everybody what a victim he is. Here he was talking with Andrew Ross Sorkin over at the New York Times and explaining that he's had a bad month, Sam Bankman-Fried.
The less generous view is that you have committed a massive fraud, that this is a Ponzi scheme, a manipulation of the system. And I want to start there because I think that there's so many people who have that question, which is, what is this and what did happen? I had a duty. I had a duty to all of our stakeholders, to our customers, our creditors, I had a duty to our employees, to our investors, and to the regulators of the world, to do right by them, to make sure the right things happened at the company. And clearly, I didn't do a good job of that. Clearly, I made a lot of mistakes or things I would give anything to be able to do over again. I didn't ever try to commit fraud on anyone. I was excited about the prospects of FTX a month ago. I saw it as a thriving, growing business. I was shocked by what happened this month. And, you know, reconstructing it, where are there things I wish I had done differently?
Oh, is that what you wish you had done differently? How did this weird gentleman end up with billions of dollars in money and regulators patting him on the head? Maybe it's because he was spending millions of dollars on the regulators. Maybe that was part of the problem. He did admit that he got a little cocky. Well, yeah, that might be what you call it when you set up a polygamous, weird, polycule sex-sharing outfit in the Bahamas with all of the executives of your team and also have no idea even what a cryptocurrency is when you start your company. Maybe you got a little bit cocky. Here he was with George Stephanopoulos.
You said one of your great talents in a podcast was managing risk.
That's right. And
that's obviously wrong.
Well, I think that there is something maybe even deeper wrong there, which was I wasn't even trying. Like, I wasn't spending any time or effort trying to manage risk on FTX. And that obviously...
That's a stunning admission.
What?
That's a pretty stunning admission.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. Like, what happened. And, like, if I had been spending an hour a day thinking about risk management on FTX, I don't think that would have happened. I think I stopped working as hard for a bit. You know, honestly, if I look back on myself, I think I got a little cocky. I made more than a little bit.
Oh, my gosh. And by the way, what you're watching here is actually sociopathy. That's what you're actually listening to. Because when he's like, you know what, it was me, it was all me. You understand he's trying to buy his way back in everybody's good graces by just admitting things. And he's just saying, like, well, I was ignorant, and I was stupid, and I took my eye off the ball. Or alternatively, you were involved in one of the great frauds in American financial history, and you were stooping the head of Alameda Capital, or Alameda Research, which was the hedge fund connected to you, and you knew that they were using the money to buy up the cryptocurrency of FTX, I feel like I went to sleep for a few days and everything collapsed is not really how this went. But I guess that if you're going to claim ignorance as a defense, then you have to claim ignorance as a defense. And then he said, I wish I had taken more responsibility. Yeah, I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. You know, you could do that. You could just plead guilty to whatever charges are coming.
So you do know, and you did know, that FTX deposits were being funneled to Alameda.
So I was vaguely aware that that was how some wires were being sent in the first place.
Didn't that set off alarm bells in your head?
So there are a lot of people who are involved in that process. And look, I really deeply wish that I had taken, like, a lot more responsibility for understanding what the details were of what was going on there. I knew that legal was involved. I knew that other groups at the company were involved, that, you know, there were agreements drafted up.
But you're ultimately responsible.
And ultimately, absolutely. Like, I should have been on top of this, and I feel really, really bad and regretful that I wasn't. And a lot of people got hurt, and that's on me.
That's on me, but not really on me. It's really on everybody else, because I'm just ignorant. I mean, this guy went from math whiz, unbelievable genius, to dumbest guy in the room in about 2 seconds flat. It's amazing stuff. We'll see if he gets away with it. He might. I mean, he's got a lot of friends in high places. More on this in just a moment. But first, if you own a business, it's been a bumpy ride for the last couple of years, from the pandemic to inflation to incipient recession. I'm sure that you could use a break. Innovation Refunds can help you out. If your business has 5 or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you could be eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of up to $26,000 per employee. It's not a loan. There's no payback. It is a refund on your taxes. The challenge is, how do you get your hands on it? How do you cut through the red tape? Get your business the refund money. Well, you head on over to GetRefunds.com. Their team of tax attorneys are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. They've already returned $1 billion to businesses, and they can help you, too. They do all the work, no charge up front. Simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. To find out if your business qualifies, just head on over to GetRefunds.com, click on Qualify Me, answer a few quick questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited amount of time, so you need to get started right now. Don't miss out. Head on over to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com, 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 to start saving money today. Now, meanwhile, over in California, they've decided that they've not blown out the budget sufficiently yet. So a reparations committee has been formed in California, like slavery reparations. Now I know what you're thinking. I know you're thinking, wait, didn't slavery in the United States end in 1865, and isn't it currently 2022? Yeah, you'd be right about that. That is a thing that you would be right about. I mean, but California's going to do it anyway. Also, you might be saying to yourself, isn't it true that California came into the Union in 1850 as a free state, not as a slave state? Well, yeah, you'd be right about that as well. So that's also true. But California's going to do it anyway, because after all, why not? According to the Daily Mail, a reparations committee in California has suggested that descendants of slaves in the state could be compensated $223,000 each for housing discrimination. It's a weird connection. So just to get this straight, if you are a descendant of slaves, then you get a check for housing discrimination because was there housing discrimination, like, because of slave... The 9-member reparations task force was formed by Gavin Newsom as part of the country's largest ever effort to address reparations for slavery. A focus of the California task force has been housing discrimination. It has been estimated it would cost $569 billion to compensate the 2.5 million black Americans for setbacks between 1933 and 1977, according to the New York Times. So maybe California has $600 billion lying around, or maybe not, maybe not so much. That is more than California's $512 billion expenditure in 2021, like its entire budget. Discussions are still underway. The panel is considering how to make payments. Some have suggested tuition and housing grants. Others have proposed cash. The task force has also identified 4 other causes for reparations. Mass incarceration, which is the idea that black people are just being rounded up en masse and just thrown into prisons because of the color of their skin, which is not true. Unjust property seizures, so you'd have to define that. Devaluation of black businesses and health care. So those are going to get vaguer and vaguer, you would imagine. It has until June 2023 to submit its final recommendations to the legislature. One example of housing discrimination the task force has considered is Russell City, a city that once existed near San Francisco and provided refuge to black families fleeing violence in the Deep South. The task force was told by people that lived in Russell City, which has since been bulldozed, the area was replaced with an industrial park, and residents were expelled. One former resident told the Times she was paid out $2,200 for her home, less than a third of what she bought it for. Imagine if the houses were still here, she said, we would all be sitting on a fortune. Now, I don't know how the eminent domain worked or how that process was going about at the time. I'm just wondering if this is a process that can be done repeatedly. At least in this particular case, you can make the case that this particular person should be paid out if she was actually jobbed by the government. And that's fair enough. The eminent domain was adjudicated by a court to be racially discriminatory. That's one thing. But when you're talking about slavery reparations, so is the idea that if you were living in that neighborhood and they eminent domained your house, but you weren't a descendant of slaves, you don't get the money? Like, how exactly do you make this decision? After a task force meeting in September, Newsom vetoed a bill that would have extended its life. The bill would have allowed an extra year to deliberate. The task force met at the California Science Center in South Los Angeles in September. In that meeting, it spoke about the time frame across which harms should be considered and whether payments should be made exclusively to Californians. The next meetings are scheduled for mid-December. Earlier this year, the task force put out a 500-page document outlining why African Americans that are descendants of 19th century slaves were due comprehensive reparations. And I'm wondering when we do Asian American reparations, given the vast discrimination in the state of California against Asian Americans in the early 20th century and late 19th century. You can do this all day long, folks. It also will not solve the problems that a lot of folks in the black community experience generationally. Yes, of course, when you have a lack of familial wealth, that has intergenerational effects. But the way that you solve that problem, as we have seen in terms of income mobility from the Asian American population or the Latino American population, when you look at income mobility, it is income mobility that generates wealth over the course of time. The real problem in the United States right now is the income gap, not the wealth gap, in terms of the future. The wealth gap matters, of course. But the income gap is what really needs to be rectified. That can only be rectified by cultural change. It can be rectified by higher levels of education. It can be rectified by more dads in the home. That's the stuff that if we really wish to solve inequity problems, we would be focused on. But we're not. We just want to throw some checks at the problem and then call it a day, apparently. A little bit more on this in a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
All right, coming up, we'll be joined by Dallas Jenkins. He is the co-creator of The Chosen, a hugely successful series about the life of Jesus. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822. That's online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Happy holidays from our home helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back
to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson, and find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and equal housing lender.
Veterans, did you know that Shasta County Veterans Service Office is open to all veterans who have served our nation? Whether a combat veteran or a member of the reserves with limited active duty time, you have earned benefits. If you have any military benefit or veteran-related questions, call 530-225-5616 or stop by Shasta County Veterans Service Office at 1855 Shasta Street, Redding, California. This message is brought to you by Korean War veteran Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary, California Veterans Affairs.
To qualify.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're joined on the line by Dallas Jenkins. He's creator of The Chosen, the first ever multi-season TV show about the life of Jesus. The first two episodes of season three just finished top three in the box office. They've been releasing it in theaters. And season three will be released this month on The Chosen app. Dallas, thanks so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
So Dallas, let's talk about the shocking success of this show. It was basically ignored by the mainstream media. It is a massive success on every available level, massive ratings, huge following. You're now releasing it in theaters and making money that way. How exactly did you build your own ecosystem outside of Hollywood?
Well, yeah, the answer in some ways is in the question. I mean, the decision was clearly Hollywood is not going to be that interested in it. And I was coming off of a career failure myself, and people weren't lining up around the block to do a Jesus show. So the decision was made to do it through crowdfunding. Now, I didn't think it would work. This was actually an idea from Angel Studios. But when we shattered the all-time crowdfunding record, raising $10 million from 16,000 investors around the world, that allows you the right, and you know this as well as anyone, it gives you the right to control your own destiny. You know, Hollywood's golden rule is he who has the gold makes the rules. And so when you are the one that's controlling the gold, you're also the one who makes the rules. And so that's what allowed us to kind of maintain this underground outsider status.
And Dallas, one of the things that's kind of amazing is how little of this sort of content has been presented to the Western public over the course of the last 40 years. If you go back 50, 60 years, you used to see Hollywood producing this kind of stuff all the time. And Ben-Hur won a massive number of Oscars because it was a movie that was largely about the origins of Christianity. You had movies like The Robe that were about the origins of Christianity. I mean, there were tons of these films that were coming out in the 40s, 50s, and then it sort of died off in the 60s with the decline of religion in the West. And now this is a wildly underserved audience. It's pretty incredible that nobody, just for the money of it, has decided to get into this business.
Right. Yeah. From a strictly financial perspective, you'd think there would be more attention given towards it. But that's the thing. And this is one of the things that I say when sometimes we complain about Hollywood is I sometimes say, well, if they don't know what they don't know. I mean, and that's not necessarily their fault. I mean, that sometimes can be our fault. I mean, those of us in the faith-based community haven't necessarily used Hollywood to our advantage like other people have. And so I think there is a piece of sometimes you have to do things yourself. And like you guys have done, sometimes you have to create your own industry as well. Sometimes you have to create your own ecosystem. And so you can't always rely on the gatekeepers. Now, I don't know all of the rules, all the reasons why this hasn't happened. But I think sometimes it's because people in Hollywood don't necessarily come from our background. And that's okay. That's not their fault. That's what they've chosen. And so I think we've in many ways had to do it ourselves instead of waiting around. I'd like to compare it to the concept of, you know, back in the day when the king would lower his scepter to allow you into his hallowed hall, instead of waiting around for someone else to lower the scepter, sometimes you have to just go ahead and create your own hallowed hall.
So, Dallas, how exactly did you go about telling the story of Jesus? Obviously, there are a bunch of different perspectives on Jesus, ranging from the Gospels themselves, because there are several of them, there are four of them, as well as the you know, sort of historical evidence regarding Jesus. So how do you construct a story around the most obviously visible and maybe important story of all time?
We do start with the Bible. That is our primary source of truth and inspiration. But in our show, because it's a multi-season show, this isn't a movie or miniseries where you have a little less time. Most of those go from miracle to miracle, Bible verse to Bible verse. Well, we're constructing a multi-season show where you have more time to develop some backstories and cultural context, historical context. So we start with the Bible, but then there's also, as you know, many, many other historical documents about that time period. And so we start with documents and, you know, cultural context, you know, historical context, and then it's a lot of artistic imagination. And I personally, of course, as a believer, want to never contradict the character or intentions of Jesus in the Gospels. So when I start with that as the premise, then even the artistic imagination we apply to it and the time that we have to take building the characters, building the backstory, building the context, I'm still operating it through that lens. So not everything in the show is fact, of course. It is a fictionalized account. And some people call it fan fiction. I think that's a fair claim because I am a fan. But we are still trying to make sure that we stay within certain boundaries. We don't want to contradict the character and intentions, even if at times we're doing things that we don't know are fact.
So, Dallas, one of the key issues in the show, obviously, is that Jesus is a Jew. So how do you deal with the Judaism of Jesus and the Jewishness of the people who surround him, the sort of Christian versus Jew dichotomy in the show? How do you do that?
Well, that's what's really interesting. This is probably the most Jewish show in the world, yeah, even though I'm a Gentile and a Christian. But Jesus was Jewish. His followers were Jewish. It's an extraordinarily Jewish story. In fact, even those who don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah, which is obviously the viewpoint of the majority of Jewish people, can still, and we've heard from tens of thousands of Jewish people, many of whom, again, aren't believers, who've said they appreciate the attention to the Jewish faith. I think sometimes there's a misconception that Jesus came along and said, all right, I'm going to upset the apple cart to the point where I'm going to actually turn the whole Jewish faith on its head. He actually didn't. He was a practicing Jew. He was an observant Jew. He went to synagogue. He prayed the prayers, the morning and evening prayers. We show all of that. It's been a fascinating thing. In fact, many, many evangelical Christians have said that because of the show, they are now doing some of those practices. They're trying Shabbat. They're trying to go to synagogue. They're trying these morning prayers. They're asking questions about the things that you see in the show. So I think that's something that's been interesting about the show, is the Jewish-Christian connection has actually increased because of the show. And I think the media sometimes assumes, oh, Christians, they're going to be more prone to anti-Semitism because of the whole the Jews killed Jesus, myth. And yes, obviously Jewish people were responsible for Jesus' death, but partially because they were thinking that that he was, you know, blaspheming their faith, but in many ways he was also honoring the faith. So it's a very nuanced concept, one that we're able to explore more because it's a multi-season show. We have the time to do so.
I was speaking with Dallas Jenkins, creator of the shows and the first ever multi-season TV show about the life of Jesus. So, Dallas, how exactly do you go about casting a show like this? I mean, obviously, when you had The Passion of the Christ, Jim Caviezel he was already a relatively large Hollywood star, but he became kind of globally enormous after that. How do you go about casting Jesus?
Well, I actually met Jonathan Rumi, who plays Jesus, almost 10 years ago. I was actually doing a short film for my church about the crucifixion. And this is where The Chosen, actually, the ideas started to get birthed. I was doing these short films and vignettes for my church in Illinois. And that's where I first cast Jonathan. And the thing is, when you're casting for a short film, or in the case of The Chosen, when we were kind of outside the system a little bit, no one knew who we were, you don't have the pressure of trying to cast like a big movie star for any of the roles. And my concept going into it was the story is the star. So we're going to cast the best people for the role. Now, when you're casting for the best people in the role of a show that takes place in first century Galilee, the concept of Europeans, you know, white people, traditional white people, just doesn't make sense. And that's actually one of the things that I think has actually caused a little bit of this divide over the years, sometimes even between Christians and Jews, is because the portrayal of Jesus has oftentimes been Aryan, this, you know, white European. And that's not accurate. We're trying to make an accurate show. So we're looking for people who look ethnic, who have olive skin or dark skin. That's kind of our operating principle in addition to talent. So when you're actually going for the best person for the job regardless, and you're not looking for any other concept besides that, you're looking for people who fit the role, and that's going to be in look and in the level of charisma. So with Jesus, the cool thing about Jonathan is he's got that combination of masculinity with gentleness, the combination of humor, because we're going for an accurately human portrayal of this. So it's been challenging in the sense that, you know, we want to make sure that we're ethnically accurate, but at the same time, it's been freeing. We're not trying to fit any other category.
That's Dallas Jenkins, creator of The Chosen. If you are a Christian or if you're just interested in the New Testament, it is definitely worth the watch. Dallas, really appreciate the time and great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All righty, folks, we've reached the end of the show. We'll be back here Monday with much, much more. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. A majority of Americans who voted in the 2022 midterms favor policies to end illegal immigration and bring legal immigration under control.
A new national telephone and online survey by Rasmussen Reports and Numbers USA finds that 58% of U.S. midterm voters believe the government is doing too little to reduce illegal border crossings and visitor overstays. Only 13% say the government is doing too much immigration enforcement, while 20% rate the current level of action as about right. A majority of midterm voters say President Joe Biden's administration is doing a poor job of handling the issue of illegal immigration, while less than a third give the administration a rating of good or excellent on the issue. Bernie Bennett reporting.
President Biden trying to increase his odds of getting reelected, recommending Iowa be moved out of its first-in-the-nation status. He wants the Democratic National Committee to replace Iowa with another state. Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley is having none of it, tweeting that Biden is, quote, kicking Iowa in the teeth, end quote. The Biden administration will not renew the emergency declaration for monkeypox. Friday, DHH said the public health emergency will expire over the next 60 days and will not be renewed at the end of January. Pro-military Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas delays passage of a bill providing money for victims of the 9/11 terrorist attacks.
Senator Cotton took advantage of Senate rules to block an effort by Majority Leader Democrat Charles Schumer when he tried to pass the bill using unanimous consent, a pathway that avoids the need for a vote if an uncontroversial bill meets with zero opposition. Senator Cotton opposes the Fairness for 9/11 Families Act in its current form. That's because its $3 billion fund would go only to families of 9/11 victims. Senator Cotton insisting a share of the compensation should go to families of U.S. Marines killed in a terrorist bombing in Lebanon in 1983. Bob Hagen reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on health care costs is frustrating. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it really is a community too. People encourage and pray for each other. Well, MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. And it's easy. You can use any Medicare-approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. Very worth looking into during Medicare open enrollment, which ends December 7th. If you join right now, your second month share will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
Several photos have been posted from Iran showing women dressed as characters from the novel The Handmaid's Tale in a new form of protest.
A woman in a scarlet robe and a white hood stands in Tehran with her back to the camera and facing the famous landmark, the Azadi or Freedom Tower. Her costume is that of one of the women subjugated by men in the fictional patriarchal society of Gilead, portrayed in Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale. Several other Iranian women have worn the outfit in recent days in a new protest against a theocratic political and social system in Iran. It was the issue of the hijab that first sparked the mass demonstrations now entering their 12th week. The rallying cry remains the slogan, Women, Life, Freedom.
BBC correspondent Sebastian Usher reporting. Early voting for the Georgia Senate race ends today. Election between Democrat Raphael Warnock and Republican Herschel Walker will happen next week. News and analysis at townhall.com. When it comes to ensuring the security of their repressive regime, China's Communist Party rulers don't skimp.
The extent of that lavish spending was on display when the boldest street protests in decades broke out in Beijing and other cities, driven by anger over restrictions to combat COVID-19. After an initially muted response, police and paramilitary troops flooded city streets with jeeps, vans and armored cars in a massive show of force. The officers fanned out, checking IDs and searching cell phones for photos, messages or banned apps that might show involvement in or even just sympathy for the protests. An unknown number of people have been detained, and it's unclear if any will face charges. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
If you're headed to New York City for the holidays, be advised. NYPD says pickpockets are out in full force at holiday spots in New York City. To be safe, they say keep your purse or wallet in front of you or inside your coat. More on these stories at townhall.com.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit ReadingCivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M. Brew.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Today's show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. Thousands of my listeners have already secured their network data. Join them at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. What we've been watching for the past few weeks is the obvious mental breakdown of one of the most famous people on earth, Kanye West, who now wishes to be known as Ye. What we've been watching here is obviously a manic episode from a person who has been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I've been saying this since the very beginning. Several things can be true at once. One, Ye West, Kanye West, he is a Jew hater. Pretty obviously, there is no way to avoid that conclusion. The stuff that he's been ranting and raving over the past several weeks demonstrates that he doesn't just hate specific Jews, he hates the Jews. The Jews are the problem, according to Kanye West. He has been spewing Der Sturmer Nazi-esque anti-Semitism for weeks, and last night on Alex Jones' show, he made that perfectly clear. So, that is true. It is also true that Kanye West is a person with bipolar disorder, and this is a person in the middle of a manic episode because there is no other way to explain his behavior. It's not performance art. It's not some sort of rational argument on behalf of hatred of Jews. He leaves that to Nick Fuentes. And the fact is that Ye West is in the middle of a mental breakdown, and we are watching it on the world's most public stage. It is the most famous person to have a mental breakdown probably since Howard Hughes publicly. And that says something about how our media cover mental breakdowns. It says something about how American society treats madness. We seem to treat really outlying insanity as a form of rationality. And meanwhile, we treat kind of borderline normal behavior as mentally ill. So we tend to overdiagnose, for example, depression, anxiety, ADHD, right? Things that are sort of on the borderline of normalcy. We tend to overprescribe for those things. Those things exist. Some people need prescription medication for that, but we tend to overprescribe that. And we wildly underserve people who have serious mental disorders, ranging from bipolar disorder to schizophrenia. And we treat that as though it is normal behavior. And finally, while being mad, while being disturbed, does not relieve you of responsibility for your Jew hatred, it does suggest that we ought to take the pronouncements of Ye West with a certain lack of seriousness, because this is a person in the middle of an episode. You know, there's no other way to play it. And honestly, I can despise what he is saying, because what he is saying is evil. And I can also recognize that this is a person who needs treatment, not a camera. This person needs treatment, not a set of lights in his face. And there are a lot of people out there who are making a lot of money off of Ye by putting him in front of a camera. There are a lot of people who are cynically utilizing this person's mental breakdown in order to facilitate their own career. And here I'm thinking specifically of Nick Fuentes and Milo Yiannopoulos. There are a bunch of people around Ye who could be attempting to get him the treatment he obviously needs. And I'm not here to pathologize people's insane thoughts or evil thoughts. Again, he's sitting across from Nick Fuentes, who routinely engages in evil thoughts. Okay, but Nick Fuentes is not an insane person. Nick Fuentes is not having a mental breakdown. He just thinks evil things. Ye West, after his display over the past week particularly, whatever you thought of him before, whether you thought that he was just an erratic personality who had decided to spew anti-Semitism, or whether you thought that he was perfectly rational, it is obvious over the course of the past several weeks that this is not the case and has not been the case for a while. Ranging from his tweet storm in which he talked about Chris Paul stooping his wife to his defense of Balenciaga to the actual appearance on Alex Jones. So we'll start this in order. The only reason I'm playing these clips is because it's important for people to recognize, because I'm seeing a lot of people who are denying what we are seeing from Ye here is actual mental illness. It is mental illness. Hey, this is disturbed behavior. Any doctor will tell you that this is disturbed behavior. First of all, I know psychologists who have spoken with Ye. He is obviously disturbed. But you don't have to be a doctor to know this. This is a disturbed human being. And you can see it last night. When you are on a set with Nick Fuentes and Alex Jones, and those are the two rational guys in the room trying to pull you back from the brink, looking embarrassed by you standing for Hitler, at that point you have to start wondering, is there a problem? I mean, your first indicator that there's a problem is when you stride into Alex Jones's studio. First of all, that in and of itself, not great. You stride into Alex Jones's studio wearing what appears to be an oversized baggy jacket and a full face covering black mask. When I say a mask, I don't mean like just face. It covers his entire head. It looks like he's about to go rob a bank, except you can't even see his eyes. Ye West. I mean, he's literally there with what looks like a black sock over his head. Apparently it's a Balenciaga sock over his head, as we'll discuss in a moment. He actually defended Balenciaga yesterday. So for all those people on the right who are saying, well, you know, Ye is a good Christian who's just defending our honor. First of all, if this is your Christian lineup, right, if this is the best Western Christendom has to offer, is Ye last night, Alex Jones, and Nick Fuentes, Western Christendom is in serious, serious trouble. But this guy yesterday was defending the company that put out pedophilic ads. So there are a lot of problems. So he walks in. He is sitting on the far left-hand side of the screen, and he is wearing a very oversized baggy jacket, and he is wearing a full-on black sock over his head. You cannot see his eyes. You cannot see his face. You cannot see anything about him except what looks like it's like an eraser head. And then you've got Alex Jones in the middle, and then you have Nick Fuentes on the end wearing some sort of blue hoodie, sweatshirt. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
NobleGoldInvestments.com. Inflation is real, and the rate only seems to be going upwards. Soon, $1 million in your retirement account won't even last as long as you need it. Look, you need to store the value of your money, and you need to do it fast. The solution is NobleGoldInvestments.com. A precious metals IRA acts like a shield for inflation. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're truly a natural choice for your retirement portfolio. Act now, and with any qualified purchase, mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. You heard right. Just mention the word silver, and you'll get a 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin. Don't let inflation affect you or your retirement one more day. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Investment involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Okay, so here is here's Alex Jones with Ye West yesterday.
Well, that's right. You're not Hitler. You're not a Nazi. You don't deserve to be called that and demonized.
Well, I see good things about Hitler also. I love everyone, and Jewish people are not going to tell me you can love us, and you can love what we're doing to you with the contracts, and you can love what we're pushing with the pornography. But this guy that invented highways, invented the very microphone that I use as a musician, you can't say out loud that this person ever did anything good, and I'm done with that. I'm done with the classifications. Every human being has something of value that they brought to the table. Especially Hitler.
Especially Hitler. Okay, now, coming out of a person who was not wearing a face covering mask and who was not about to launch, in, sitting next to a copy of the Holy Bible, by the way, he's speaking just as Jesus would here. Yeah, he was. In the, coming from a just normal anti-Semite, and there are some other people on the screen you could choose from, you would say that this is just pure rote anti-Semitism. But as I say, I don't think this is just pure rote, disgusting, craven anti-Semitism. It is, but I don't think that's the limit of it. As you can see, Alex Jones gets more and more uncomfortable here, and there is a certain perverse hilarity to the fact that Alex Jones is moderate on the panel, and Alex Jones is suddenly Larry King here. But here's Alex Jones again trying to walk Ye West back from the Hitler support, the open Hitler support, and Ye just jumping into both feet.
I like Hitler.
I don't like Hitler. And I know you're trying to be shocking with that.
I'm not trying to be shocking. I like Hitler. I do not. The Holocaust is not what happened. Let's look at the facts of that. And Hitler has a lot of redeeming qualities.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Except that he's mad. Except there's a person in the middle of a mental break. And I say that, again, advisedly, because I'm not here to pathologize people's evil. In fact, I prefer for people to take responsibility for their evil. This person is in the middle of a mental breakdown. And it's not just from that clip or from his garb. It is from this clip, I mean, where he actively starts. He took out the prime minister of Israel is a person named Benjamin Netanyahu. Okay, Bibi Netanyahu, as he is called, his Ye brought to the studio a small Met and a bottle of Yoo-hoo. I'm not kidding you, like the chocolate milk, Yoo-hoo. And he started trotting them around the table while doing the supposed voice of Benjamin Netanyahu, who he accused of attempting to kill him. This is mad behavior. This is mentally disturbed behavior. This is not something, if you saw a person on the street doing this, you would understand this is a mentally disturbed person. If you saw this in the halls of a mental hospital, you would understand this is a mentally disturbed person. You put him on TV, and suddenly we're supposed to treat it like celebrity behavior. We're supposed to treat every behavior by a celebrity as celebrity behavior, up until the point when they actually do something terrible to themselves. I mean, honestly, that's my great fear here for Ye West, is that if he is in the middle of a manic episode, the depression on the other side of the mania very often is coincident with the level of the mania. So if the mania is really high, the depression is really low. So, I mean, I would not be surprised, God forbid, something should happen, that Ye should do something to himself, given his behavior. I mean, again, my grandfather was schizophrenic. I know what serious mental illness looks like. This is serious mental illness, and we are watching it. And people are treating it for a variety of reasons as though it is not mentally ill behavior. You have some people on the left treating it as though it's not mentally ill behavior so that they can link Ye West's despicable views on Jews with Donald Trump, and then Donald Trump by proxy to the entire Republican Party. You have some people in the media who are treating it not that way because they wish to make money off the ratings. I feel bad even talking about this a little bit at this point, given the fact that this is a disturbed individual. But again, I keep saying he's a disturbed individual because I want people to understand, number one, that the words he is saying make no sense. And that's not an insult. They don't make any sense. They are nonsensical. And I also would love for people to understand, who are defending Ye West, that when you defend a person who's in the middle of a mental episode, you are not doing them any good. You are not adding value to the world. You're doing something quite cruel. And here's Ye West going mad on air. I mean, there's no other way to put this.
The ADL had a meeting two weeks ago and said, Alex Jones is an agent of evil. He should be taken off the air. He's the devil because he doesn't want you to take four shots. And I'm like, what are you doing calling me anti-Semitic? I'm not against groups. I don't get into group politics.
Adam, I've got the perfect answer for the ADL. They are going to have to listen up. What we did is we brought Netanyahu with us. Netanyahu. What do you have to say? What do you have to say to Alex Jones right now, Nick Fuentes and Ye? It was bad. It was bad for Trump to meet with Nick and Ye. Okay. I had no idea your voice is going to sound like that, Netanyahu.
This is wild. I mean, even Alex Jones on the air was calling this crazy, and Ye was like, who are you calling crazy? And Alex Jones was like, the whole world is crazy. The whole world's crazy. But what he really means is you are crazy. When Alex Jones is calling you crazy, obviously there is a problem. I mean, even Alex Jones, throughout the interview, again, the rich irony of this is that Alex Jones has finally been embarrassed by another human being. he's an embarrassing human being all on his own, and he was embarrassed by another human being here being Ye. And you can actually see it on camera. Here's a little bit of that.
So you don't like Benjamin Netanyahu?
I just heard about this guy 2 weeks ago since like the tweet, and I thought he had a funny name. I heard he's like really into like, he's like a super killer. I could die for saying this. So in case this is the last time you ever hear from me.
I'm glad you guys are here, and we can sit here and upset. All I'm telling you is, do you guys realize that the British government created Hitler and the Milner Group put him in power, and there's something much more sophisticated? And I personally think that most Jews are great people, and I understand there's a Jewish mafia, and they're used to demonize anybody that promotes freedom, but I don't blame Jews in general.
Alex Jones trying to walk back Jew hatred there. I know the Jews made it, and the British created Hitler, but most Jews are, Alex Jones trying to play the moderate man. We'll get some more on this in just a moment. First, using the internet without ExpressVPN, it's like taking a call on a train or bus on speaker for everybody to hear. You don't know who has access to your most private, sensitive information. Don't be the person reading your credit card in front of an entire bus. Here's why I use ExpressVPN. Internet service providers know every single website you visit. In the United States, they can legally sell that information to ad companies and tech giants who then use that data to target you. ExpressVPN creates a secure, encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so people can't peep on your online activity. Just fire up the app, click one button. It works on phones, laptops, even routers, so everybody who shares your Wi-Fi can be protected. No wonder it's rated number one by Business Insider and The Verge. If you're using the internet, there are a lot of prying eyes would love at your data. I'm talking about big government, big tech, and hackers who are grabbing your data and then they're reselling that data or are simply stealing that credit card number. Secure your online activity today at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. That's expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. Again, expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. ExpressVPN.com/Ben Shapiro, and secure your data today.
Hiring? You need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds qualified candidates for you and invites them to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Alrighty, coming up, if you thought that Ye wasn't insane, why exactly is he defending Balenciaga? This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
When Black Bear Diner first opened, they filled the largest platters they could find. Not much has changed. Their legacy of huge portions continues today. And they've just introduced new diner deals. 6 new dinner combos and new home-style side choices. Baby back ribs and tri-tip, chicken strips and tri-tip, chicken Alfredo, chicken and pesto, ribs and shrimp, and cod and shrimp. There is always plenty for your paws at Black Bear Diner at 2605 Hilltop Drive or order online at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
The tradition continues at the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista, featuring delicious steaks and seafood, chicken, soups, salads, and much more. The Dry Creek Station, family-owned and operated, open since 1992, serving dinner Tuesday through Sunday from 5 to 9 p.m., with happy hour from 3 to 5, and don't miss their fantastic weekend specials. The Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. So come on down to the Dry Creek Station, where quality and value meet.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So for all those who are still defending Ye West as sort of a great expositor of Christianity, I'm just wondering why he's defending Balenciaga this week. Yesterday, Ye West tweeted out before being banned from Twitter, which we'll discuss in a moment, quote, I stand by Balenciaga and denounce all witch hunts, and I cancel culture. Jesus is king. Ending trafficking doesn't start or end with a fashion campaign, for Christ's sake. And then he tweeted again, featuring a picture of himself, never turn our backs, Demna and the Balenciaga family for life, cancel culture, Jesus, please heal. This person who is apparently standing against the anti-Christians out there is tweeting in favor of Balenciaga, which, as we discussed earlier this week, put out a full ad campaign with children carrying bears wearing bondage gear. Does this seem like calibrated behavior to you? I think not. This does raise some rather large-scale questions about the treatment of actual disturbed behavior in American society. There's been a long-time problem in American society with being able to label normal behavior and abnormal behavior. What you're seeing here is obviously abnormal, disturbed behavior. But American society, I think this is symptomatic of something greater. The fact that people have a tough time with this one, with labeling it, with actually recognizing what this is a symptom of a culture that, as I said earlier, really goes far too light on serious mental illness in terms of attempting to treat it and find it and do something about it, and goes way too heavy on milder forms of depression, anxiety, and things that are actually treatable but don't always need medication. Some of this goes back all the way to the 1960s. There is a famous psychologist named Thomas Szasz who wrote a book back in the 1960s called The Myth of Mental Illness, in which he basically suggests that mental illness was itself a myth. And here's what Thomas Szasz talked about in terms of mental illness. And this is sort of a seminal point in how we treat mental illness in this country and how we see mental illness in this country. And this has some pretty widespread ramifications because this is not just about Ye. There are two major issues on the table. One is the anti-Semitism and the growing anti-Semitism in American society that unfortunately has been spreading on nearly all sides. Because forget about Ye being mad. There are literally millions of people who agree with Ye and look at what he said and think, maybe there's something there. That's a problem we have to discuss. But then there's a second problem. And that is that we are a society that is gradually growing more and more disturbed. We're seeing more and more disturbed behavior from vast majorities of people suggesting that they are members of a sex that is not their own, to people who are delusionally violent. We're a society that has, because we are so radically individually autonomous, we have basically decided that all forms of behavior are not mentally disturbed behavior. There's no such thing as mentally disturbed behavior. That's a serious problem. And it's something we have to discuss on a broader level. Now here, going back to the 1960s, is Thomas Szasz talking about his view of the mental illness industry, essentially.
I look upon the mental health profession today as a gigantic apparatus of molestation.
Molestation? That's a loaded word.
Yeah.
How do you mean it?
Intrusive. Intrusive, the average person doesn't know how to resist mental health help. Look how much of it is directed to the three helpless groups, children, old people, prisoners. Prisoners are full of psychiatric drugs now. Right?
They go to jail for drugs.
They go to jail for drugs, and then go to jail for the drugs they like to take. And then when they're in jail, they are forced to take the drugs they don't want to take. That in some ways characterizes the American drug scene today. The drugs people want to take are illegal, and the drugs they don't want to take, psychiatry forces on them. And the mental health profession does not complain about this. On the contrary, it supports this.
So the idea from Szasz, and this has been taken up, again, this is a seminal work in sort of the history of American psychology and psychiatry, is that mental health care is mostly trying to control other people. It's mostly molestation, that when you see people who are disturbed and you try to actually change their behavior, this is a form of you invading their autonomy. Well, that's not true. When you watch somebody who is seriously disturbed, and we are watching this happen in real time with one of the biggest celebrities on the planet, when you watch that stuff happen, you're not doing anything sympathetic by pretending that this is just another aspect of autonomy. And we're seeing this society-wide. If you want to treat mental health seriously, you must treat mental health seriously. Because you've seen the costs of this on a societal level. You've seen it in terms of rising homelessness, violence in places like New York and L.A. There's a reason why Eric Adams, the new mayor of New York, has now suggested you might need involuntary commitment of the mentally ill who are not threatening to others but are threatening to themselves. And you've seen it in terms of the broad societal acceptance of ideas that are simply false. Mainstreaming mental illness is not a good thing. And pretending that it doesn't exist is not a good thing. And again, there are two sides to every coin. At the same time, over-pathologizing what is in the realm of normal behavior is bad as well. But we have to recognize both of those things are happening right now in the United States. Alrighty, coming up, Ye West was suspended from Twitter for his latest tweets. We'll get into that. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
Stay up to date on seasonal vaccines to prevent the spread of COVID, RSV, and the flu. Visit the Wintu Cultural Tribal Center at 4755 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake on Saturday, December 3rd from 12 noon until 6:30 p.m. Keep your immunity strong this holiday season. This community clinic is brought to you by the California Department of Public Health and MyTurn. Merry Christmas from Midco. With the shopping season underway, tight parking lots can lead to minor fender benders, door dings, or even vehicle scratches. And Midco Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive has the perfect Christmas gift or stocking stuffer. A gift certificate from Midco, which can be applied to a new paint job or use it to repair dents, dings, and damage. Uh-oh, better call Midco at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992. Merry Christmas from Midco.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Join us this year for the 18th annual Cascade Christmas, a song and dance extravaganza, a Reading tradition.
With the cast of nearly 30 characters singing and dancing on the Cascade Theater stage.
Come with me, Jack Radio, as we take a tour through the North Pole for the first time ever.
Happening one weekend only, December 1st through 4th. Featuring evening and matinee performances.
Get tickets at 243-8877 or at cascadetheater.org.
Come have a jingle good time at Cascade Christmas, the Reading tradition.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hi, this is Rob Burrows from Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. We would love to have you join us for the 15th annual Christmas for the Troops. Along with KIXC-TV, we invite you to join us Friday, December 9th for food, fellowship, and package assembly at the Anderson VFW post at 3210 West Center Street starting at 6 p.m. A suggested donation at the door provides snack foods, dinner, and helps offset the cost of shipping. You can help in advance as well. We'll be accepting donations of food, funding, and travel-sized personal care items that you can drop off at the KIXC Studios on North Market Street in Reading. For more information, call Michelle at 530-859-3176. 530-859-3176. Remember, the date is now Friday, December 9th at 6 p.m. VFW Hall in Anderson. Veterans sacrifice themselves for us. Let us show them our gratitude and thanks for your support.
To qualify.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Ye West was finally suspended from Twitter for his activities. He's been suspended from Twitter after this tweet storm last night that concluded with him tweeting out an image of the Jewish star, the Magen David, with a swastika inside, which is the most typical example of anti-Semitism. The anti-Semites, people who hate Jews, they have this very bizarre view of the Nazis, that the Jews are the new Nazis, but also that the Nazis were good. The most extreme version of the anti-Semitic story. You see this a lot in the radical Muslim world. As you'll see, Zionism is Nazism, but also Hitler wasn't bad. So it's weird to have it both ways that way, that Hitler was doing the right thing, but also the Jews are the new Hitler. But this is precisely what is argued by the world's worst anti-Semites. This is exactly what Ye was tweeting out amidst all the Holocaust denial last night. He ended up being banned from Twitter. Asked on Twitter by a user to fix Kanye, please. Elon Musk replied, I tried my best. Despite that, he again violated our rule against incitement to violence. Account will be suspended. West's account then began displaying a message saying it was suspended with no tweets visible. Musk, who owns Twitter, has described himself as a free speech absolutist. He has said that Twitter generally should only intervene to comply with local laws. West's account had been restored before, right, including after that tweet that said that he planned to go DEFCON 3 on Jewish people. Well, at a certain point here, he was asked, was Musk, about why he had banned Ye. He said it was incitement, and then somebody said, well, what about free speech? And he wrote FAFO, right, F around and find out, essentially. Now, is what Ye is doing tantamount to incitement? I don't think so, because I have a very strict legal standard for incitement. So do I think that Ye actually should be banned from Twitter? I think the answer is no. I don't think that Ye should be banned from Twitter. In fact, I think the more that Ye has exposed his own behavior, the less seriously people are likely to take his views. Because when you sit there doing weird Elmo voices, carrying a net and a bottle of Yoo-Hoo, people tend to take you less seriously. When you show up on Tim Pool with Milo Yiannopoulos and Nick Fuentes, and Tim Pool simply asks you why you are slandering all Jews, as opposed to just naming the Hollywood agents that you don't like, and you get up and you walk out. Sunlight is a pretty good disinfectant here. Do I think that Ye is responsible for actually inciting violence against people? No. Do I think he's raising the temperature radically? Absolutely. And I speak as somebody who's personally targeted by name, by Ye, in all these interviews. Right? There's a reason I have 24/7 security. Do I think that Ye is responsible for incitement to the extent that would be necessary to ban him from a platform like Twitter? I do not. I understand why Musk did it. Do I think that Musk should have done it? I actually don't think that Musk should have done it. So all of these things can be true at once, as always. The Ye should not be banned from Twitter. Ye definitely needs treatment. People who are treating him seriously for their own purposes are sick deviants. The people around him who are using a person who's in the middle of a breakdown for their own purposes are perverse and cynical. Members of the media who are trying to use a madman's comments to tie him to an entire side of the political spectrum are well past their skis at this point. And also, the rising problem of Jew hatred in American society is very, very real. And it exists, unfortunately, on all sides. I've talked about before extensively on the program. When you're talking about Jew hatred in American society, you're talking about multiple forces that are converging on a single point. So you have white supremacists who believe that Jews are undermining Christendom, and that Jews are the problem in American society. That would be the Nick Fuentes category of Jew-hating anti-Semites. And then you have left-wing anti-Semites who suggest that Jews are essentially a conspiracy of power who are manipulating world forces in their own favor, right? The Jews are all the best capitalists. The Jews are in control of industry. The Jews are very powerful because in the Middle East, Israel has extensive military power. And so that's essentially just a conspiracy theory about Jews. It's sort of Protocols of the Elders of Zion style anti-Semitism, Jews in the back rooms controlling all of the levers of power. And I cross the stream sometimes with the white supremacist sort of a horseshoe theory here. But you see, that sort of conspiratorial Jews have the power anti-Semitism from the Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar wing of the Democratic Party. And then you also have some just old school racial anti-Semitism. The Jews as a race are perverse. The Jews as a race are somehow of tainted blood. And you see that mostly from the white supremacist side of the aisle. You also see this somewhat in the radical Muslim world when they call Jews the sons of pigs and monkeys and all of the rest. The question is why this is rising right now, because it clearly is rising. In the number of Jews who have been attacked in the United States is on the uptick. By the way, none of this means that Jews have it, quote unquote, bad in America. Jews do not have it bad in America. Jews are extraordinarily fortunate in America. If you look at Jewish history, America is the greatest country in world history for the Jews. America is an exceptionally free place. Jews have been extraordinarily successful in the United States. Jews right now are generally safe in the United States unless you're walking around wearing a yarmulke on the streets of Williamsburg or places in New Jersey. However, the question is not sort of how bad are things on an absolute level for Jews. The question is why the tide is rising in terms of anti-Semitism. And the answer typically is that a confident society, a society that believes in its own moral status, a society that doesn't feel threatened by minority groups that are successful within it, doesn't feel the need to target the Jews. When everything is coming apart at the seams, when madness is roaming free, and we talked about individual madness before in the context of Yale, but when we talk about societal madness is a fragmented social psychology in which we can't agree on basic values at all. We don't share the same set of fact patterns. We don't share the same news. We don't share the same basic ideas of what reality constitutes. We don't share the same moral system. When that happens, as society tends to tear apart, as the social fabric is strained, and as those threads start to stretch, anti-Semitism starts seeping through. Because anti-Semitism, in the end, is a giant conspiracy theory about power in the world and blaming it on a minority. And the minority typically is the Jews, for whatever reason. If you're a person of the Bible, you believe it's because this was said in the Bible. If you're not a person of the Bible, it would be because Jews are very successful minorities. And you see this with other successful middlemen, what they call middlemen minorities, for example, ethnic Chinese in certain countries in East Asia. But in the West, it's typically been the Jews. And so when society starts to fragment, when society starts to come apart, when it doesn't have the confidence in itself that it used to have, when it doesn't have anything that's shared, typically all the guns turn on the Jews. And that's what we're starting to see on all sides. A little bit more on this in a moment, but first a word from our sponsor.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Anti-Semitism has also become a bit of a political football here, meaning that what you will see is people condemning on the right anti-Semitism on the left. They're very happy to condemn Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. But when it's coming from Nick Fuentes, or when it is coming from Ye West, or when it is coming from people on the right, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, you know, the left won't condemn anti-Semitism on their side, so why should we condemn anti-Semitism on ours? That is not the way that you condemn anti-Semitism. You see the same thing on the left. The ADL will be all over Donald Trump for having dinner with the AUS, but they'll have nothing to say about Nancy Pelosi doing a cover photo shoot with Ilhan Omar. They'll have nothing to say about Louis Farrakhan in the halls of Congress with members of the Congressional Black Caucus, historically speaking. They'll have nothing to say about that sort of stuff. Well, the answer is that if anti-Semitism is only if Jew hatred is only something that you care about on your own side of the aisle, you don't care about Jew hatred. It's that simple. But we're going to have to come together over something in this country, because if we don't come together over something, we will come apart over everything. And that's what we're watching right now. Historically speaking, successful countries that are confident in their own values do not feel the necessity to go after the middlemen minorities. They don't feel the necessity to go after the Jews. All of the darkest powers in life are kept in check. That is no longer happening. And that's why you're seeing madness being treated as normalcy in the case of Ye West, until it becomes so clear that he's got a Yoo-hoo bottle and a net and he's doing a weird voice on Alex Jones. And it's also why, if you just shade it slightly, right, if you take what Ye is saying and you just shade it slightly, you rub off the rough edges, then suddenly it starts to look like a lot of crap that you see in the halls of academia in the United States. You see it coming from Berkeley professors. Not in the weird form of a guy who is wearing a black hoodie, like full-on face mask on his face, like a gimp mask on his face, but in the form of a highfalutin professor at a major Ivy League university. The sickness and cancer that is Jew hatred, yes, it's about Jews because it's targeting Jews, but really it's more about the society that allows Jew hatred to thrive. So when we have a society that is allowing Jew hatred to continue and increase because of all these conspiracy theories from the far right and from the left and from everybody in between, when you start to see that, when you simultaneously see a society that has so little confidence in the very idea of individual mental normalcy that we are absolutely unwilling to actually even say that somebody has a problem, and that person's problem is a very serious problem. And the only time we ever say that somebody has a serious problem, by the way, is if they politically disagree with us, right? The only time that we'll ever say that they, like, you'll see the left, they'll be, oh, you know who's really mentally ill? That's Donald Trump. That's a guy who's seriously mentally ill. But when it comes to people on your own side of the aisle, you just go completely silent. That is the kind of society that you are, that is so polarized around particular political narratives, that you can't call out clear violations of norms. There are no norms left to violate. And when there are no norms left to violate, then it turns out that everything breaks down incredibly quickly and things get very ugly very, very fast. That's why I think you're seeing a lot of nervousness in American society from a lot of Jewish people right now. Because again, whether it is the New York Times downplaying anti-Semitic attacks in Williamsburg, or whether it is some people on the right pretending that there's not a rising tide of anti-Semitism on the very, very far right, it's egregious stuff. It's egregious stuff. And it speaks more to the anti-Semitism is rarely the disease. The anti-Semitism isn't even the cancer. Societal cancer is the disease. And anti-Semitism is its most obvious symptom. All right, in just one second, we'll get to LeBron James, who has some comments about Jerry Jones. But first, let's talk about how you take a rest in the middle of the day. So, you've got your Helix Sleep mattress, right? You got your personalized mattress. Well, now you come home, it's 3:30, you're wiped out, you need to lie down on the couch, but you don't have a great couch. Your couch is a piece of junk. Instead, you need to replace that thing with an all-form. If you're looking for a cozy place to curl up with a good book or something stylish and comfortable enough to turn into your new favorite spot to put up your feet and relax, you need all-form sofas. All their pieces are American-made and easy to assemble. They're scratch and stain-resistant, and they are great for anyone with kids and pets. So, what makes an all-form sofa really cool? Well, all-form sofas are modern yet timeless seating pieces. They come in a wide variety of sizes, shapes, and configurations. It's the easiest way you can customize a sofa using premium materials at a fraction of the cost of traditional stores. All-form sofas are shipped directly to your door. They can be assembled in just a few minutes without any tools. We have one at our house. It is a sand color, three-seat couch. It came with a chaise, and it's really, really comfortable. It's modular, so you can add onto your sofa as your family grows, for example. If getting a sofa without trying it in store sounds risky, don't worry, because Allform offers a 100-day risk-free trial. That is more than 3 months. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up for free. They'll give you a full refund. Allform's durable, high-quality sofa is so well-made, it offers a lifetime warranty option. So if your sofa breaks down, you can repair or replace it for literally the rest of your life. Allform is offering 20% off all orders for our listeners right now at allform.com/Ben. Step up your sofa game today. Alrighty, coming up, LeBron James is ticked off at the media because they're not asking him the right questions or something. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right, and our responsibility.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice, with respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
Now, this is Carl Bott
and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
It's time to put a stop to boring Christmases, gift giving, and mass-produced items, and take a trip to Memory Lane. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage makes gift giving easy. We have something for everyone. Antique carnival glass, superhero collectibles, beautiful jewelry, vintage clothing, and best of all, it's all in one location. You don't have to break the budget this holiday season to give somebody something they'll cherish. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center.
Association.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So LeBron James has gotten extraordinarily cush treatment from the media, but he's mad at them anyway. He's upset at the media because they didn't ask him questions about Jerry Jones. Now, what you asked, does Jerry Jones have to do with anything? Well, Jerry Jones is the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. And about a week ago, there was a report in the Washington Post by David Marinus and Sally Jenkins about Jerry Jones. And the report was that Jerry Jones, when he was 14 years old, was at North Little Rock High. So this is in 1957, because he was born in 1943. And he is standing a few yards from where six black students were being jostled and repelled with snarling racial slurs by ringleaders of a mob, again, in Arkansas. At one point, a black student named Richard Lindsay recalled someone in the crowd put a hand on the back of his neck. A voice behind him said, "I want to see how an N-word feels." The ruffian hostility succeeded in turning away the would-be new enrollees. The confrontation occurred 65 years ago. On September 9, 1957, during the same month, a higher-profile integration effort was taking place at Little Rock Central High in the capital city a few miles away. The story of the Little Rock Nine, when President Dwight D. Eisenhower dispatched federal troops to escort the trailblazing black students past the spitting hordes, is regarded as a pivotal moment in the civil rights movement. It overshadowed the ugly events unfolding contemporaneously at Jones's High School on the other side of the Arkansas River, an episode mostly lost to history, though not entirely. The photograph, taken by William Strader of the AP, shows a young Jones wearing a striped shirt, craning for a better view, looking like a little burrhead, as he said in a recent interview with the Washington Post, acknowledging his presence on the steps that day. He was 1 month from turning 15. He showed up near the conflict's epicenter, stationed on the top landing near the school's double-leaf entry doors, a face in a rear row of human bulwark intent on keeping people out because of the color of their skin. Jones said he was there only to watch, not participate. He said, "I don't know that I or anybody anticipated or had a background of knowing what was involved. It was more of a curious thing." But the photographs indicate Jones had to scurry around the North Little Rock Six to reach the top of the stairs before the black students completed their walk up the schoolhouse door. And while Jones offered a common explanation of the confrontation, that it was the work of older white supremacists, most of those surrounding the six young black men were teenagers. Jerry Jones is now 80. Okay, so if you actually look at the picture, what you will see is a bunch of guys who look like they are ranging in age from maybe 17 to 30, surrounding these black students and jostling them. And then in the very back of the crowd, you can see Jerry Jones as a 14-year-old looking on curiously. Okay, so what does this have to do with LeBron James? Well, LeBron James has been asked repeatedly about Kyrie Irving. And the reason he's been asked about Kyrie Irving is because Kyrie Irving tweeted out a video from Amazon that was distributed on Amazon that was a Holocaust-denying, bizarre black Hebrew-Israelite conspiracy theory about how the blacks are the real Jews and all the rest of this. And this ended with an overwrought suspension from the NBA for Kyrie Irving. As a general matter, I believe that sports leagues should not be suspending members of the league based on their viewpoint, largely because I think that they sometimes get it wrong. And almost always, it allows people like me to say, wait, hold up. Half your league is using cocaine and nailing prostitutes. But this guy tweeted out a video from Amazon. Like, I'm not sure exactly what your standards are. And that's true for every league. The standards are really, really bizarre. Anyway, LeBron James was asked about that. But one of the reasons that he was asked about that is because he sort of came out in quasi-defense of Kyrie Irving. And that had followed his own history of anti-Semitic comments. He had tweeted out before statements about Jew money and all the rest. So LeBron James is going to use this as an opportunity to go after the media. LeBron James is going to say, why isn't the media asking me about Jerry Jones? Well, maybe the reason the media is not asking about Jerry Jones is because Jerry Jones was 14 years old in 1957, and the story is 65 years old in a sport that is not your own. And you have been particularly hesitant to call out causes in which you are directly involved or leagues in which you are directly involved with your friends. Maybe that would be why. But according to LeBron James, obviously it's media racism.
I was wondering why I haven't gotten a question from you guys about the Jerry Jones photo. But when the Kyrie thing was going on, you guys were quick to ask us questions about that. As a black man, as a black athlete, as someone with power and a platform, when we do something wrong or something that people don't agree with, it's on every single tabloid, every single news coverage, it's on the bottom ticker, it's asked about every single day. But it seems like to me that the whole Jerry Jones situation photo, and I know it was years and years ago and we all make mistakes, I get it. But it seemed like it's just been buried under like, oh, it happened, okay, we just move on.
Well, I mean, just to be clear, the story itself says that Jerry Jones was 14 years old. So I have a basic rule. The basic rule is that if you're under, say, 17 years of age, and the event happened 60-plus years ago, and there was no actual criminal activity, and it's a picture of you, that's not much of a story. I'm sorry to say that, but it's not much of a story. Like, you can't even attribute full motive to Jerry Jones when he is 14 years old, standing at the back of a crowd looking on at an incident that's happening at his school. Have you ever met a 14-year-old kid going to a high school, like, under any circumstances? If there's, like, a shiny light, all the kids run around. But in any case, there's no way to actually attribute that action to Jerry Jones, but LeBron is very exercised over the fact that he wasn't asked about the Jerry Jones photo, but he was asked about Kyrie. Well, maybe it's because LeBron James has sounded off on pretty much every topic. He doesn't need to be asked about Jerry Jones. He'll just sound off about it. He won't sound off about Chinese human rights violations because he's getting paid too much money by China. He'll sound off about how America is terrible, how America is racist and horrible, but he'll go completely silent when it comes to anti-Semitic nonsense from members of his own league. That would be the reason. But again, the idea here in the sports world is that everybody is racist. I guess the same people who are paying you hundreds of millions, I mean, LeBron James is a billionaire. The same people who are paying you tons and tons of money to watch you play sports are somehow racist because they didn't ask you about Jerry Jones. Strange. Here's Stephen A. Smith doing the same routine. Again, a man who is paid a lot of money to shout on your TV.
I can't applaud LeBron enough for what he said. Mm-hmm. I 1,000% agree with LeBron James because that wasn't about Jerry Jones. But what LeBron was talking about is unavoidable. The media. Trump says something. They asked LeBron about it. They asked LeBron about the presidential campaign when Trump was running against Hillary Rodham Clinton. Now, obviously, him endorsing Hillary Rodham Clinton had something to do with that. But clearly, LeBron James has been subjected to question after question after question. But suddenly, when it came to Jerry Jones, you didn't ask? Because I assure you, if I was in that press room, I would have asked LeBron about it. I would have said, yo, LeBron, by the way, how do you feel about this?
Oh, it must be racism. It must be racism. Mm-hmm. It is funny how far we will go in search of racism. Meanwhile, you know, there are other forms of bigotry in the United States that are, in fact, rising. Racism in the United States against black Americans has been on the decline markedly since the 1960s. I mean, obviously. And then when it comes to other forms of bigotry, say, for example, official bigotry against Asians at major American schools, that we just ignore. When it comes to the uptick in anti-Semitism, depending upon who the source of the anti-Semitism is, we just kind of look the other way on that sort of stuff. So if this is the best that LeBron can do, again, LeBron has never even really seriously been asked about his own viewpoints. Forget about Jerry Jones. All of this is obviously very tiring and destructive to the American fabric, but that is sort of the norm of the day. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. President Biden's trying to help a Democrat win a Senate runoff election from afar.
Instead of traveling to Georgia to support Senator Raphael Warnock in his race against Republican challenger Herschel Walker, the president traveled north to Massachusetts on Friday. His appearances at a Boston phone bank and fundraiser were reminiscent of the support from a distance strategy Mr. Biden employed throughout the midterms. The White House said Mr. Biden is willing to help Warnock any way he can. However, the senator wants him to get involved, which in this case apparently means fundraising 1,100 miles away from Georgia. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Another big fentanyl bust.
Prosecutors in Mexico say police found 660 pounds of fentanyl pills packed into coconuts. The coconuts were found in a truck traveling on a highway in the northern border state of Sonora. Prosecutors said the truck was detected Thursday on a road that runs along the Gulf of California, also known as the Sea of Cortez. According to photos of the bust, the coconut husks had been neatly split in half and reassembled with plastic bags of fentanyl pills inside. The road eventually leads to the border town of Sonoyta across the border from Lukeville, Arizona. Keith Peters reporting.
Alex Jones filing for bankruptcy.
The filing comes as Jones faces nearly $1.5 billion in court judgments over conspiracy theories he spread about the Sandy Hook school massacre. Jones' Chapter 11 filing lists $1 billion to $10 billion in liabilities. Jones has been ordered to pay nearly $1.5 billion in damages to relatives of victims of the 2012 shootings for calling the massacre a hoax. Jones has scoffed at the awards, saying he has less than $2 million to his name and will not be able to pay such high amounts. Rich Thomason reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than $1 a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
A U.S. passenger is killed when a big wave hits an Antarctic cruise ship.
Authorities say a woman from the United States was killed and four other passengers injured when a massive wave struck the Viking Polaris ship on an Antarctic cruise. The boat was sailing toward a port in southern Argentina at the time. Authorities say the 62-year-old was hit by broken glass when the wave broke cabin windows late Tuesday during a storm. Viking called it a rogue wave incident and said injuries to the four other passengers were non-life-threatening. I'm Shelley Adler.
Police say two shootings may be the work of a serial shooter as they link the shooting of a Bronx gas station attendant to the shooting of a parking officer 3 days later in Philadelphia.
The Bronx gas station attendant who was shot November 23rd and the parking enforcement officer are both in critical condition. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Tayshia Stevens. It's shaping up to be one of the worst flu seasons in the last 4 years. National correspondent Shelley Adler has more.
The CDC says flu activity rivals the peak of the 2017-2018 flu season, with 44 states reporting high or very high flu activity last week. The dominant flu strain so far is the kind typically associated with higher rates of hospitalizations and deaths, especially in people 65 and over. The CDC estimates that there have been at least 78,000 hospitalizations and 4,500 deaths from flu so far this season, and those deaths include at least 14 children. I'm Shelley Adler.
The Biden administration will not renew the emergency declaration for monkeypox. Friday, the DHH said that the emergency will expire over the next 60 days and will not be renewed at the end of January. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
Last night, President Biden hosted French President Emmanuel Macron for the first White House state dinner in more than 3 years. Yep, the French like to eat late, so Biden was like, got it, 4:30 it is.
That's as good as it gets on late night TV. You know, it's not a comedy show. It's a Democrat Party propaganda show. I'm surprised he wasn't at the dinner. Well, he could have been. Maybe they pre-recorded. And then they take their private jets down to Washington and land at Reagan, where normal people can't land their private jets. But corruption goes a long way when you know how to use it properly. Yeah, a little poached Maine lobster with squash ravioli sounds very nice. A calotte of beef, certainly, with marmalade, triple cooked butter potatoes. You know, the usual stuff. That's actually what my best girl and I had at home last night. You know, in reality, we had Omaha steaks. We had a couple of, we did have Omaha steaks and potatoes, too. The bacon-wrapped fillets for dinner last night. But we were not invited. We were alarmed that we were not invited to the state dinner by the Biden White House. You see Joe Biden? Joe Biden went out to dinner with Emmanuel Macron the night before last. They had the state dinner at the White House last night. Night before last, they went to Fiola Mare, in Georgetown on the waterfront in the building or the building complex where Nancy Pelosi lives, with multi-million-dollar condos along the Potomac River overlooking, looking at the Kennedy Center. And the Key Bridge, it's a pretty nice location. There are a couple of bars down there that are good, you know, good fun, at least. And they have cold bottles of Bud Light in the summertime. Nice place to go along the river. They got, you know, Tony and Joe's and Nick's Riverside Grill. Nice, nice. And, you know, kind of beer places where people hang out along the river. But very close to that in the same complex, Fiola Mare. Very fancy indeed. And the photographs show the Joe Biden and Emmanuel Macron leaving the restaurant after dinner. And Macron looked like Joe Biden's caregiver. he had as they were going down a couple of steps. Macron was on Joe Biden's right shoulder, and he took Joe Biden's right forearm in his right hand, and he wrapped his left arm around Joe Biden's back as though, appropriately, he was very concerned that Joe might fall down the stairs and hit his head. And can you imagine, you know, think of Joe Biden now. Imagine Joe Biden after hitting his head. What would we do then? Honestly, have you seen that movie Dave? They'd have to get an impersonator. In fact, there are people who already believe that there's an impersonator living in the White House, but that's what the Internet's for. Yeah, so Macron was shepherding Joe Biden around like he was a professional caregiver. Very thoughtful, I thought. Very caring. He probably learned that from his wife, his teacher, his wife, his teacher, his wife, his teacher. She's my sister. She's my daughter. Because he married a school teacher. You know, she was very giving indeed. And the room was full of faithful Democrats, like the billionaire Tim Cook. Did you see he brought a beard? He brought a beard to dinner. Got to bring a beard to dinner at the White House for the big dinner. And then it was full of media people like Stephen Colbert and Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, because it's all a great big circle fest in a hot tub. Hot tub. It's a big hot tub, but yeah, the big state dinner last night, and there were plenty of moments. There were moments at the state. Although, again, I was not invited. My best girl and I were not invited. We were on our own for dinner last night, once again. But fortunately, we had our Omaha steaks, so that's good. And we've got a lot to say about all that because of stuff going on. Now, Tara Reid, you know Tara Reid, the media hit her in the back of the head with a shovel, like Anthony Perkins at the end of Psycho 2, I think. Was that Psycho 2? I think it was Psycho 2. And they buried Tara Reid, of course, was a Joe Biden Senate staffer on Capitol Hill who was sexually assaulted digitally by then-Senator Joe Biden. She was a young woman working for the senator, very excited to be working on Capitol Hill. And she found herself pinned against a wall with the senator's hands, Russian hands and Roman fingers. They used to say in Joe Biden's time. And Tara Reid reemerged. The Daily Caller has the story, and the Washington Post doesn't, because they're not a legitimate newspaper. Was the billionaire Jeff Bezos at the state dinner last night, or is he not sucking up enough? Hard to say. I'll take a look. But the Daily Caller has the story. Tara Reid calls GOP Majority House to investigate alleged sexual assault by Joe Biden. I did read a so-called mainstream media news article on this yesterday, and they were doing everything they could to discredit Tara Reid because, you know, that whole pound me too thing? The Democrats pound you, and then, when you call them on it, then they pound you again because it's all a big lie that, you know, believe the women thing as all a big lie. Oh, Hunter Biden was at the state dinner last night with that woman that he married. He had known her for a week, so he married her. And now they have another child, not a bastard child this time, and one that they acknowledge on the Christmas stockings and the White House fireplace and all that stuff. But, Hunter Biden was there. Do you think he can get crack into the building, right? They're not going to pat him down or anything like that. No cavity search for him. So, and now, Joe Biden, you know, we got all kinds of stuff going on. Have we figured out what's going on with the race? We still have a recount going on in Colorado for a House of Representatives race. December 6th, we have lots and lots of early voting already going on in Georgia because Herschel Walker he's the target of the Democrat Party and the media. But I repeat myself, because that guy who's too radical for Georgia, the Democrat, you know, he's got to win. The Democrats, the fix is in. It's like I'm swiping the side of my right nostril with the tip of my right index finger. The fix is in. Speaking of which, yeah, we're still waiting to, because the Democrats, they came along and they fixed our system of electing our leaders, and now it's so broken that it may be impossible to repair what they've done. But the people at CNN are excited to announce Biden proposes South Carolina as first primary state in drastic shakeup of presidential nominating calendar. And what do they want to do with California? Because they got another plan for California. I was reading one article on this. The headline said that Biden proposes fix, you see, for the way we elect our leaders. And when they say fix, they mean it in the way they meant it in the sting, you know, because when they say fix, well, it may not mean what you think it means. But he's got Biden pushes primaries shakeup. Requests DNC make South Carolina first, elevate Georgia and Michigan. See, because it's about fixing the way that we elect people. That's on the front page of the Washington Post. Pretty remarkable times we're in. The news media is in on it. So, you know, they talk about the fix being in. The fix is in. Pretty amazing stuff. And that's it. And, you know, Macron and Biden put out a joint statement. And they mentioned the protests in Iran, but apparently forgot to mention the protests going on in China. China, because, you know, Biden and the Biden family, they've got financial interests in China, and they're taking care of things. You know what I'm talking about? So Biden's supply chain advisor to leave White House. We've got a supply chain advisor. He's going to leave the White House. I think he should be fired, should probably be fired, don't you think? So we've got a lot of Biden news. Tanks roll into China's streets in chilling echo of Tiananmen Square massacre as Xi cracks down on the white paper protests. The white paper protests, because they hold up blank sheets of paper because they're not allowed to hold signs that say anything, so they've come out with blank sheets of paper to represent that. And the American media and the Democrats in America, who are in charge of almost everything, don't care about that. The Republicans aren't saying enough about it either, but the Democrats are in charge, and they don't have a lot to say. Ron DeSantis had a couple of things to say about it yesterday, and he said those things quite well, I've got to say. Speaking of the Democrats fixing everything, in Arizona, Katie Hobbs, you know, she's the Secretary of State that was running for governor, and she, you know, quote-unquote won. The counting went on until they won. And now Katie Hobbs, you know, when you put one of the contestants in this game show in charge of the election processes and procedures, that might raise red flags, you know, in third world countries. But here in the United States of America, you know, there was a time, like 20 minutes ago, when the United States would throw a flag on this if we saw it in another country. Now, not a big deal. Katie Hobbs in Arizona, her office is threatening county board with arrest and 2 years in jail if they don't certify the results showing that she won. Now, some of the county board members are Republicans, and they point out that there were a lot of problems with voting machines and other issues, and they are therefore slow to certify. But since she's the Secretary of State and the winning candidate, she wants to threaten these people with 2 years in jail each if they don't declare her the winner. Honestly, Bongbong Marcos in the Philippines is laughing at this one over breakfast, but the Washington Post and the New York Times, they're good with it. They're fine with it. Because the Democrats they've fixed the way we hold elections, and now it's better, you see. That's how this works. When you're a Democrat, this is what information dominance is all about. Am I right? Yes, I am. Also, San Francisco will allow the police to use robots that kill to go after citizens in the United States of America. It's like RoboCop, you know, the movie RoboCop. And what was his name? Murphy. And it's like RoboCop. It's the beginning of RoboCop.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
That's exactly right. Dead or alive, you're coming with me. And it's already happened at least once in the United States at a police massacre that the Democrats held during a Black Lives Matter rally in Dallas, Texas. They had to use a robot to go in and kill the Democrat psychotic, racist, mass murdering, cop killer, suicide attacker, one of many Democrats doing that. They had to use a robot to go in and get him. But that's kind of an interesting development, I've got to say.
Come quietly or there will be trouble.
The Daily Caller has learned that Immigration and Customs Enforcement dramatically underreporting certain numbers at our border. In fact, underreporting by 18,000%. Not the total overall number, but I'll explain that statistic to you. It's pretty extraordinary. Also, last month, the record number of gotaways at our southern border, and the Democrats are good with that because, you know, if your whole family's killed, they're fine with that, too. They're trying to reduce our carbon footprint. Not only do they want us to eat bugs to stay alive, the Democrats, it was in the Washington Post the other day. Now the Washington Post has a story on you washing your clothes. You'll never guess what their ideas are here. You know, washer, dryer, all that stuff. Basically, they're against that because the planet. And California calling for reparations. Let me tell you something. If you're African American, it's time to move to California. California, here I come. Because they're offering almost $250,000 to every African American. If you're a young African American, you're in your 20s, you're married, you have two or three kids, just get on the bus, Gus, and go to California, because it's worth more than $1 million to you. You're going to get a more than a $1 million payout. If you're a couple with three kids, just honestly, get on the train. No train strike. And we're raising money for the Fisher House today. And I want to explain some of that coming right up.
There's only one Chris Plant, the Chris Plant Show.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is frustrating. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it really is a community, too. People encourage and pray for each other. Well, MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation, too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years, and it's easy. You can use any Medicare-approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. Very worth looking into during Medicare open enrollment, which ends December 7th. If you join right now, your second month share will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 855-PSALM-11. That's 855-PSALM-11. 855-PSALM-11.
This is Staples.
So rumor has it that Staples has everything I need to ship.
Mm-hmm. We have all the shipping supplies and services you need.
Boxes?
Yep.
Mailers?
Yeah. And we have UPS here in store.
Huh. What will Staples think of next?
Right?
No, seriously, I'm asking, what will they think of next?
Staples is your one-stop shipping destination. Now get 50% off shipping boxes, mailers, or tubes when you buy five of the same item in-store or online with one-hour pickup. Staples, the best-kept secret in shipping. Ends 12/31. Exclusions apply. Visit staplesconnect.com/shipping for details.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get them a shirt from Untuck It. Untuck It shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuck It stores or at untuckit.com. Untuck It. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
How would you like to come home to a bartender who will fix you any cocktail you want?
I'll have an old fashioned.
I'll have a margarita.
Now you can, with the Bartesian Home Cocktail Maker. Bartesian is a sleek machine the size of a coffee maker that makes premium cocktails at the touch of a button. Choose from over 50 different cocktails, from classics to the most exotic premium cocktails served in the best bars today. You'll always get freshly mixed, perfectly balanced cocktails with the Bartesian Cocktail Maker. And now get Bartesian's best Black Friday deal ever at bartesian.com/premium. Entertaining? The Bartesian is ideal for parties. No need to stock all kinds of individual mixers for complicated recipes. Every guest gets the cocktail of their choice in seconds. The Bartesian makes a wonderful gift for anyone who loves a fine premium cocktail. Now get Bartesian's best Black Friday deal ever. It's available right now, only at bartesian.com/premium. That's bartesian.com/premium for Bartesian's best deal ever. Only at bartesian.com/premium.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Mix a little sports analysis, pop culture, and great interviews, and you've got the Rich Eisen Show podcast. Bo Jackson talks about his greatest accomplishment.
July 21st, 1990, I took third strike on purpose right down the pipe, turned around, had a few choice words with the umpire. He proceeded to toss me out of the game, spent the rest of the day with my wife and my baby girl, who was born that morning at 6:30 a.m.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast, wherever you listen.
The holidays are here. Achieve gifting greatness when you give perfectly aged, tender, delicious Omaha Steaks. The steak experts at Omaha Steaks have curated special gift packages to take the guesswork out of gifting and make you a holiday hero. At OmahaSteaks.com, use code SIZZLE at checkout for $30 off your order. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship, so shop early and beat the rush. Visit OmahaSteaks.com, use code SIZZLE at checkout to get that extra $30 off. Minimum order may be required.
We're back, and it's Friday. In the last few weeks since the ludicrously referred to as Election Day, last few weeks have been kind of, unusual weeks. A little more high volume than usual. But yesterday and today, we at the Chris Plant Show are humbly helping the great people at Fisher House to raise money. We do this once a year. Been doing it for decade and a half or so, and I'd like you to call 888-294-8560 and give $10 or $1 million, whichever you think is appropriate. And right now on the phone with us, we have Mary Considine, and Mary Considine is the chief of staff for the Fisher House Foundation, who started there as a volunteer long ago. And now, Mary, thank you for being here. Now you've made your way to chief of staff for the organization. Tell me about Fisher House and the goal of having 100 Fisher Houses around the world. Where are these houses?
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Chris. I really appreciate the chance to talk about Fisher House, my favorite topic. They're homes away from home for military families and veterans families while a loved one is receiving care at a military hospital or a VA hospital. They're usually just across the parking lot, a quick walk to the hospital. Families can stay there completely free of charge for as long as necessary while they're supporting their loved one getting better, hopefully.
And it is December now, and that means it's just about Christmas time. Tell me about Fisher Houses at Christmas time.
We try to make sure that all of the comforts of home, that if you could be home right now, you would experience that inside a Fisher House. And that is a group effort. There are volunteers who are there making sure these families are taken care of and comfortable, coming in to decorate Fisher Houses for the holidays, volunteering to sign up and, you know, maybe donate or cook a meal for families. Because day in and day out, even though it's Christmas coming up, they're still focused on their loved one's recovery. And so to bring them that taste of home, that's the above and beyond that you only find at a Fisher House. You'd never find that in a hotel.
And for many years during this effort, as long as I've been involved, we've been dealing with the post-September 11th wars in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and elsewhere, sometimes places where we don't talk about it very much. And now it looks like, with Joe Biden's disastrous Afghanistan withdrawal, it looks like we're not at war anymore. And there's still a great need for Fisher houses because of what?
Well, we have a whole new generation of veterans from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. But beyond that, you know, we may not have had Fisher houses here during Vietnam or Korea or in between, but now the Fisher houses are serving those communities still. So the Fisher House is for veterans of all eras. It's for military families who are stationed far from home dealing with any type of medical emergency that you could imagine that would create stress. And our goal, like you said, on the road to 100 is to make sure we bring Fisher houses to more and more communities all across the country, helping veterans to take this burden of where they're going to stay while getting well off of their shoulders.
And, you know, I've been at Fisher houses. I've visited Fisher houses, and I've been there at Christmas time at least a couple of times. And I've encountered young military couples in their 20s who are...
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advanced Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time is coming for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor, La Gloria Cubana S, San Andres. A new offering from La Gloria Cubana, draped in a dark, oily San Andres wrapper, direct from the volcanic and potassium-rich soil of Mexico, rolled at the El Credito factory in the lush valleys of the Dominican Republic, where their motto is, one factory, 100 artisans, one goal, to craft the most exquisite cigars on the planet. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating.
Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
At Emergency Water Supply, our business is to come together with our community in times of great need. That's why, when we were asked to support Heroes of the North State's Toys for Tots Toy Drive, we recognized the importance and were honored to join the Heroes Circle, knowing children in Shasta County would wake up Christmas morning with smiles on their faces. At Emergency Water Supply, we invite you to join us and give the gift of Christmas this holiday season.
Okay, and we are back. Again, today and yesterday, 2 days a year, we work with our friends at Fisher House to help raise millions of dollars over the years for them. And the phone number to donate generously is, or modestly, is 888-294-8560. And if you know Fisher House, you know how great it is. If you don't know Fisher House, well, now you do, and it's an extraordinary and great, great organization. Now, back to the crazy people, because they're everywhere. Fairfax County, Virginia, which has kind of been in the eye of the storm when it comes to school board madness and schoolhouse madness, where they have, you know, it was in Fairfax County where they had the young man who said he was a woman, and they said, oh, you should use the ladies' room. And he sexually assaulted a high school girl there, and the school board said, oh, well, that's not good. So they moved him to another school. And guess what? He sexually assaulted another girl there. And that's where the father at the school board meeting was dragged to the ground by the police. And, you know, it's kind of the end of civilization as we know it, because the left is here and they're insane. But there was a school board meeting, and they had the opportunity for people to speak to address the all-powerful school board. And at the school board meeting, there was a woman who had got up to speak. Her name is Karen. You know, another Karen. They got a lot of Karens out there. Karen. I'm going to go with Solon, S-O-L-O-N, Karen Solon. Karen Solon is a teacher at a school, if you can believe that, and allegedly a parent. Apparently, according to news reporting, a parent and a teacher. So she's like, you know, two-thirds of the PTA. She is, all she has to do is be an association, then she's the whole PTA. If she can sing, she can do that. There is Karen Solon at the Fairfax County School Board meeting explaining biology as it is understood by the Democrat Party today.
We do assign gender at birth, and we do not always get it right, period.
That's right. We assign gender at birth, and we do not always get it right, period. And she is, you know, she's a school board she's at the school board meeting. She's a teacher and a parent. And that's her view, is that sometimes children, when they're born, maybe the light is not particularly good in the room. Maybe there's a little bit of confusion on the part of the adults in the room who say, hey, that looks like a girl. And as far as Karen is concerned, well, that's not really the only measure. how does your child feel? You shouldn't really assign a gender until the person is 17 or 18, or maybe kindergarten, when you can help them decide, because they're pretty creepy. Pretty creepy stuff. You want to talk creepy? This is pretty creepy stuff, I got to say. And there was a time not so long ago when, if you were going around saying things like that, it's possible that you'd get a visit from the Child Protective Services people and say, excuse me, we'd like to have a discussion with you about your treatment of your child. But the Fairfax County School Board, they're considering changes to sex education, as you might imagine. Right? And time has expired for parents who want to weigh in on new proposed changes to sex education in Fairfax County, Virginia public schools. Used to be such a nice state. The deadline to submit your comments to the school board expired yesterday. And one change would teach sex ed in gender combined classes in 4th through 8th grade, where all students will receive instruction on the menstrual cycle, unless they're opted out by their parents. You know, that's not really the major area of concern. We have one of our favorite listeners, in a special way, is Mike the Lib. Many of you may be familiar with Mike the Lib. Mike the Lib is consistently dazzling in his worldview. And I spoke to him probably about a year ago. And I asked him about this transgender in school thing, and Mike the Lib explained that God is dead, and now the Democrat Party is God, and they will explain the rest later. How many genders are there?
I don't know, Chris.
You don't know.
But now there's because technology has allowed us, medical science has allowed to correct errors. Errors in genetic makeup.
All right, so God makes errors in genetic makeup, but fortunately, modern science has a lot of.
He does.
So
God that makes errors. I mean, that's why we have cancer. That's why we have viruses.
That's why we have cancer. That's why he certainly does. God makes mistakes. That's why we have cancer and viruses. So gender is like cancer, and Democrats are like viruses. Today, they're a lot like monkeypox. I'm sorry, now it's Mpox, because an international organization renamed it, and we all must follow suit. We must goose-step behind the World Health Organization, because, that's what we got going. This is today's Democrat Party. And the school board meeting, their gender is sometimes a mistake, and in other cultures, as Karen explained at the school board meeting, other cultures view gender or genderlessness differently than we do. And if you're a lefty in the United States of America, any other culture's view of anything is probably better than our view of the same thing, because that's your Democrat Party. They're really something. Man, oh man, oh man. Now, Robert Rigby, the Fairfax County Public Schools Pride. This is the organization, Fairfax County Public Schools. Now, the pride is not in the education, see, because pride, the Democrats have seized the word pride. And the word pride, you're not proud to be an American. There is no American pride, Marine Corps pride. No, pride means LGBTQQIA, ampersand pound sign. So Robert Rigby of Fairfax County Public Schools Pride says the new changes to the sex ed curriculum are more inclusive. You know, they use the words, but they don't know what they mean. More informative, same applies here, and welcoming to LGBTQ students. How about to non-LGBTQ students? Well, screw them. If not now, then later. So that's the thing. I think it's good because it helps all kids, said Rigby. I don't think queer kids will be put in a spot of having to out themselves when they aren't ready to. Like in kindergarten? Is that the thing about that? I think that's pretty much the thing about that. Yeah, well, that soundbite, we heard the soundbite out of the Fairfax County Public Schools meeting, the parent-teacher You know, it's open comments, allowed to have comments, and those were among the comments that pretty remarkable times that we're in, I've got to say. That's it for us. Now, the, you know, for, as a culture, but pay no attention to that. The people at MSDNC were very excited this morning. I watched them on the television because somebody's got to. When I turn them on my cable dial, their ratings go up. That's a Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski. They were all a Twitter, if you will. Do people say all a Twitter anymore? Has that word been murdered? They were very excited this morning. First, because they were at the lobster dinner last night at the White House, where you see the Maine lobster fishermen are mocking an even liberal, sometimes Republican senator from Maine, Susan Collins, put out a statement saying, hey, well, if lobster is good enough for the White House dinner, the state dinner with Emmanuel Macron, who is playing the role of Joe Biden's caregiver while he's here, it should be good enough for the rest of America, because the left, PETA, and the Biden administration, they're doing everything they can to put the lobster fishermen in Maine out of business, even though they enjoy eating lobster with abandon. But even Susan Collins put out a thing saying, you know, good enough for the state dinner. Maybe you guys shouldn't be doing everything you can to put the lobster fishermen in Maine out of business, which is what the Democrat Party is doing, because they like to murder anything good. Anything that is good, they like to kill. But Joe and Mika this morning, they were very excited to announce, and they were all on Twitter, that the court has struck down President Trump's special master. Isn't that racist? I mean, you can't even say master bedroom. So what are you going to do with that special master? Trump's special master blocked in massive DOJ win. That's the headline from Newsweek Fake Magazine. Massive DOJ win is right there in the headline in quotation marks. Now, how is it a win for the DOJ, the Department of Justice? Well, here's the thing. If it's a defeat, this is the news media's view, and they view it through the prism of the Democrat Party, and they hate Trump. So this is how they view it. A federal appeals court on Thursday halted the third-party review of documents seized from former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate. You remember that big FBI raid with the rifles and the flashing lights and the body armor? How many of them were there, like 500 of them or something? There were probably 20-some-odd. Like when they raided that Catholic guy's house who's pro-life with his seven kids inside. Siding with the Department of Justice, Newsweek magazine types, and allowing the federal government to use the documents in its criminal investigation. In the 21-page opinion from the 11th Court of Appeals, the three-judge panel, two of them were allegedly Trump appointees, the three-judge panel, but that's because Republican-appointed judges actually go by the law rather than what the party mandates, what the party expects of them. And Joe and Mika and the little circle fest there at MSDNC this morning, they were shocked, but they're Trump appointees, because when they hear that, they're shocked. Because they know that if they were Obama appointees, they would vote with the party. They would rule on the side of the party, because that's what's expected of them. Because the party is corrupt, and their nominees for the bench are corrupt, and their senators are corrupt. And, you know, like Sheldon Whitehouse with his all-white private beach club calling on the IRS to target the political enemies of the Democrat Party. I shared that story with you yesterday. Like Lois Lerner and the Obama administration did, use the IRS to target their political adversaries. Any Tea Party groups or groups with the name Patriot targeted by the IRS. And then Lois Lerner scoffed at the Congress and laughed and, you know, went away. Now she's probably a rich Democrat living, I think she was to begin with, living around Washington, D.C. So the panel wrote that Judge Eileen Cannon, who granted Trump's request for a special master in September, did not have the jurisdiction to block the United States from using lawfully seized records in a criminal investigation. Now, it's an amazing country we have here. The law is clear, read the order. We cannot write a rule that allows any subject of a search warrant to block government investigators after the execution of the warrant, nor can we write a rule that allows only former presidents to do so. Sure, I got to tell you, I'd like to think that what goes around comes around, but I'm not so sure that's actually the case anymore. And the news media is celebrating this as a victory for the Justice Department, which is a strange way to frame it, isn't it? And liberal media, radical left wing like Mika Brzezinski with, an IQ of 11. She, boy, oh boy, very excited that this is happening. Mm. Yes, sir. It's a bad day for President Trump. The judges ruled, I'm sure, based on their view, their interpretation of the law, and the media says it's a victory, like it's a team sport. The Department of Justice, an organ of the Democrat Party, not just now under Biden, they have a victory, and it's a defeat for President Trump. So it's the federal government, the Justice Department, the law enforcement apparatus, our chief law enforcement officer versus President Trump. Because, they raided his home. And then, remember, they had that photo shoot where they spread the classified cover sheets on the floor and they took photos and then they immediately issued them to the media. They included a magazine rack that had nothing to do with it, but they thought it was mockable because, the FBI, the Fascist Bureau of Intimidation. See our T-shirts at the Chris Plant store. Remarkable time. A defeat for President Trump and a win for the Justice Department. Interesting. We're at 888-630-9625, and we have Fisher House fundraiser today coming up.
You're listening to the Chris Plant Show.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is frustrating. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it really is a community too. People encourage and pray for each other. Well, MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. And it's easy. You can use any Medicare-approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. Very worth looking into during Medicare open enrollment, which ends December 7th. If you join right now, your second month share will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 855-PSALM-11. That's 855-PSALM-11. 855-PSALM-11.
Missed Black Friday? Dell's Cyber Monday event starts now with deals on powerful business tech. The savings start now with up to 50% off on select business PCs powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Don't forget special pricing on the latest monitors, docks, and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL for Cyber Monday deals. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
This week at Staples, save 60% on...
Thanks for your business this year.
Save 60% on...
Happy holidays, Nana!
Save 60% on...
You are cordially invited.
Right now at Staples, you can save 60% on custom printed holiday cards and invitations. So you can say, thanks for a great year, happy holidays. Or come on over, all for less. For everything you need printed this holiday, go to Staples, the working and learning store. In-store and online. Ends 12/3. Exclusions and restrictions apply.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? A man age 50 non-tobacco user can obtain $500,000 of coverage for as little as $110 per month. Level rate for 20 years. That's right, guaranteed level rate for 20 years. If you're a smoker, there are great rates available for you as well. Call Term Busters for a quote. 1-800-908-7636. You're probably paying more than you should. Call 1-800-908-7636. Remember, call Term Busters. 1-800-908-7636. Sample rate for preferred non-tobacco rate class. Exam required to qualify.
The holidays are here. Achieve gifting greatness when you give perfectly aged, tender, delicious Omaha steaks. The steak experts at Omaha Steaks have curated special gift packages to take the guesswork out of gifting and make you a holiday hero. At OmahaSteaks.com, use code SIZZLE at checkout for $30 off your order. Omaha Steaks is ready to ship, so shop early and beat the rush. Visit OmahaSteaks.com, use code SIZZLE at checkout to get that extra $30 off. Minimum order may be required.
If you're 19 or older with certain underlying medical conditions such as asthma or diabetes, you can get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can disrupt your life for weeks. If you're 65 or older, it is also recommended you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. No matter the season, talk to your doctor about vaccination today and learn more at lung.org/protect yourself. A message from the American Lung Association in collaboration with Pfizer.
Furnished by the American Lung Association.
We tried Dynavite Nutritional Supplement, and after a couple of weeks, we noticed a big difference. Our little Gizmo's coat was shinier, and there was a lot less scratching and shedding.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
Attention. Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-516-9931.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation.
Call 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931. That's 800-516-9931. 800-516-9931.
And again, today is Fisher House Day, yesterday and today. The phone number to give generously is 888-294-8560. And on the phone with us, we have Michelle Horn. And Michelle, thank you for being here. Michelle is a now retired U.S. Army officer who served in Afghanistan and Iraq. You joined Fisher House in 2019, not so long ago.
Yeah, that's right. And thanks so much for having me today.
You betcha. You bet your bottom dollar. Well, tell me, you joined Fisher House. Tell me what you've seen since you got there in 2019.
Well, you know, I mean, what a crazy time to, you know, I retired in 2019, came straight to Fisher House. It was an incredible transition from the military, really one that I couldn't be more grateful for. But, of course, you know, right after 2019, we went into 2020, which everybody knows how that went.
Yeah.
But, you know, Fisher House, it's been incredible. All the things that I had known about Fisher House while I was in the military, while I was in the Army, were really even better than I knew they would be. I mean, it really was incredible to learn about all the other programs. I always knew the Fisher Houses were there and available, and that was an incredible comfort. But when I started learning really about the other programs, like the Hero Miles programs, Hotel for Heroes, support to Warrior Games and Invictus Games, and scholarships, and even the support to other nonprofits that we help with, it really became apparent to me right at the very beginning when I started learning about it all and really getting to know the organization, just what an incredible place it is to be part of. I mean, the mission is just so important and makes such an impact. And then the best part has been meeting the families. I mean, every day I get to talk to families and hear their stories because I'm the vice president for communications. So I get to really get to know people and hear why Fisher House was important to them. And it's really heartwarming to hear how much it affects our greatest heroes.
It's such a great organization because the Fisher family sought out and spoke to people and found that there was a gap between what the VA and the military provides and what the families need. And when they saw the need, they saw the gap. They came in and they filled the gap. And there are Fisher houses at Bethesda Naval, Walter Reed, that Burns Center in Texas, at Landstuhl in Germany, everywhere they need to be. And 93 Fisher houses now, shooting for 100 Fisher houses, right?
Yeah, we're really proud of that. In fact, next week we will install furniture at the 94th house, and we should reach that 100th house in the next 2 years.
And we're looking at everybody, the Fisher houses, dressing up for Christmas and for the holidays, and, you know, Christmas trees, and taking everybody into account. They're just extraordinary. And the people, the families that are there outside of or near the hospitals, the military hospitals where their loved ones are, they're making dinner together at night. They're making breakfast together in the morning. They're there as a support network for one another. And whether by design, I mean, it was by design or not, it's just such an extraordinarily effective. It is the perfect solution to the problem. Am I right, Michelle?
Absolutely. I mean, these are homes away from home. There is nothing better, no better way to describe it. It is a place where families can gather together, can lean on each other, and know that they have a place to.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.